Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
A moment is all right, but I'd prefer eternity.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. The Dow surged today, casting off some worries about the economy for now, and looking ahead with some optimism. Analyst Mark Petrie.
There's expectations that we're going to cut interest rates substantially here in the U.S., and more so than that, it's primarily just a recognition that stocks are oversold.
And there was some pressure from the White House today for banks to start using that money from the bailout package and quit hoarding it. Reporter Alexis Christophers at the New York Stock Exchange.
There's definitely some hope on the street that we're going to start seeing banks lending more to each other, and then, of course, lending more to consumers and businesses, a major positive for the stock market. But also, let's remember, these stocks have been beaten down so badly, you can now get real bargains. Stocks haven't been this cheap in about two decades.
The Dow finished 889 points higher at 9,065. The NASDAQ was up 143 points. It was a rough day on the campaign trail weather-wise, but Pennsylvania is critical. And so both candidates found a way to campaign there, as Howard Arenstein reports.
1 week! It was pouring rain at Barack Obama's rally near Philadelphia, but the crowd didn't seem to care.
The fact that all of you are here today shows how badly you want change, shows how committed you are.
John McCain canceled an outdoor Pennsylvania rally because of the weather, but did hold a rally indoors in Hershey, telling supporters that Obama is committed to redistributing their wealth.
Senator Obama is running to be redistributionist in chief. I'm running to be commander in chief.
And who wins Pennsylvania could determine who wins the White House. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Detroit's former mayor Kwame Kilpatrick was sent to jail today for 120 days after a sex scandal that cost him his job. Judge David Groner in sentencing him.
I note that you were elected to mayor at 31 years old. You had a bright political future, and I wonder what you could have been had you fulfilled your obligations to the people of Detroit.
Kilpatrick was asked if he wanted to address the court. He said he did not. He was sentenced for lying about his affair with his chief of staff and assaulting a sheriff's detective. An Italian judge has ordered American college student Amanda Knox to stand trial in the killing of her British roommate who was stabbed in the neck. Knox's former boyfriend will also stand trial, and a third person has been sentenced to 30 years in jail. The Christian Science Monitor is becoming the first major U.S. newspaper to drop its daily print edition and focus instead on its online content.
Our reach online is already vastly greater than our reach in print.
And like many newspapers, print circulation is falling. Editor John Yema.
All of the problems of print are really becoming worse and worse in this environment, and you know, that's not just happening right now. That's been happening for a number of years.
While many newspapers attract more readers online, it's been difficult to translate that into profits. And the Monitor will print a weekly edition in the future. Recapping the numbers on Wall Street, the Dow up 889 points. This is CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Gas Gauge.
Oh, my needle is asleep.
What's wrong, Gas Gauge?
For some reason, I haven't been moving.
Oh, well, that's probably because I got the Works Fuel Saver package at the dealership.
Oh.
Yeah, it's an oil change, tire rotation, and more, just $29.95 or less after a $10 mail-in rebate.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to stop for a sandwich. Do you want anything?
No, thanks. I'm full.
Oh, good one.
Taxes, diesel, and disposal fee extra. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for rebate details through 11-30-08.
An official message from Medicare.
Today I found out that my drug plan's monthly premium changed. So I compared other plans and found similar coverage at a better price.
Now's the time to review and compare Medicare prescription drug plans. From November 15th to December 31st, you can even change your plan. Call 1-800-MEDICARE. That's 1-800-MEDICARE. Or visit Medicare.gov and use the plan finder to see options in your state. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
The federal government's putting some of the blame for high school dropout rates on the schools themselves, and now it will begin tracking whether or not those schools can turn the numbers around.
New government rules are being announced to boost graduation rates by putting schools in a spotlight. Dropout rates would have to be calculated school by school using a single standard.
We will also have accountability for all groups of students, including students of color and low-income students.
Daria Hall at the Education Trust, a group that favors more ambitious graduation goals. Critics contend these rules will only create confusion with a new administration coming in. Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, Washington.
Cold sufferers may spread germs on so many household items it would be hard to avoid getting sick. Researchers in Virginia say their new study found germs on TV remotes, salt shakers, light switches, and refrigerator handles in the homes of people with colds. I'm Cammy McCormick, CBS News.
Too much at once can sometimes get in the way of beautiful music. It's the same with driving. When there's too much on the road, things aren't so pleasant. And since one CSX train reduces traffic congestion by carrying a load of 280 trucks, fewer things will get in the way of you having a smooth drive. To learn more, go to CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
You're a small business person, so you're the buyer, the seller, the bean counter, the chief cook, and the bottle washer. You know your best new business comes from your current customers. But what's the best way to reach them? ConstantContact.com, the easy, effective email marketing service. Constant Contact gives you professional online newsletters fast, without any technical skills. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial and plans as low as $15 a month. ConstantContact.com, the smart way to build your business.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. We've just got too much audio going on at one time. And now I've got it under control. As our announcer likes to say, the Peter B. Collins Show is live, unscripted, unrehearsed. And occasionally, technically chaotic. That's because your humble host is at the controls, always a dangerous policy. Thanks for joining us on this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show up and down the left coast and in San Francisco, too. Later this hour, reporter Eric Umansky will join us. He's now writing at the new independent website ProPublica, and we'll find out more about that. He's going to tell us about Dianne Feinstein's efforts to ban lobbying by AIG, the insurance giant that's been bailed out to the tune of $120 billion by American taxpayers. And Eric Umansky's also been covering a lot of interesting aspects of the show trials at Guantanamo Bay. He'll be with us a little bit later. Joining me now, Chris Hedges. He writes for The Nation, and also you can read his work at truthdig.com. Most recently, he published a book co-authored with Laila Al-Arian called Collateral Damage, America's War Against Iraqi Civilians. Chris Hedges, welcome back to our show.
Thanks, Peter.
Always nice to talk with you. And also with us is Dr. Les Roberts from Columbia University, and he spearheaded the study back in 2004, attempting to come up with an accurate estimate of the number of Iraqis who died during the shock and awe campaign and America's ongoing occupation of that nation. Dr. Roberts, thank you for joining us today.
Peter, it's lovely.
lovely to be with you again.
And I recall talking with you in the fall of 2004. Johns Hopkins and the British medical journal The Lancet published your work. And if you would recap for us what you did to try to identify the increase in deaths during the American occupation of Iraq.
Sure. Back there when we spoke in 2004, we had essentially gone to 33 randomly picked places across all of Iraq, and in each one of them we interviewed 30 houses, again picked at random, and we just asked them a couple of questions. Who had lived here on the 1st of January 2002? That's about 14 months before the invasion. And who lived there today? Had anyone moved in and out? Had anyone been born? And had anyone died? And if someone had died, we asked them how did they die and the circumstances. And on those occasions when it was a violent death, we wrote down a little narrative describing how they had died. Then, when we were done, we could compare the death rates in those neighborhoods from the last year of Saddam's reign to the first year and a half of occupation, and we came to the conclusion that the rise in mortality accounted for about 100,000 excess deaths, and that over 60,000 of them had been from violence. Much to our surprise, most of those violent deaths early on had actually been caused by coalition airstrikes. What's important, since we last spoke, is that we repeated it and found virtually an identical finding for that window of time. And moreover, the Iraqi government now has released data saying that our 60,000 estimate was a little bit low for that first 18 months of occupation. So when President Bush, a year later, said he thought more or less 30,000 people had died, we now have actually four independent estimates stating that that was just an absurdly low number.
Mm-hmm. And so, in your best guess, your best estimate, how many Iraqis have died because of or during America's occupation of that country?
The truth is, I can't tell you. In the end of 2006, it was over 600,000. A poll was done just about a year ago that would have put the number at about a million. That was a little bit of a softer study, I think, than our more epidemiologically rigorous one, but certainly it's way up over 600,000 thus far, and it probably exceeds a million, but I can't be absolutely sure of that.
And Chris Hedges, you and I have talked about this before, but the administration and its military leaders have played fast and loose with the statistics about so-called collateral damage, which you chose as the title for your book. And in recent months, as it appears that violence has been trending down, they have offered some figures to try to describe the decline in violence and the reduction in civilian casualties. But it's hard to believe what they tell us now because we don't have an accurate context, because in the early going, the first 3 or 4 years of the war, they were resolutely opposed to collecting or at least publishing any data on civilian deaths in Iraq.
Right. And, I mean, they have consistently said that it is not their job to tally civilian casualties, especially those caused by coalition forces. You know, I think it's important when you, and when we wrote the book, we focused on the pillars of the occupation, those specific flashpoints where Iraqis daily come into contact with the occupation, often at the peril of their own lives. Those would be checkpoints, convoys, which, of course, race through Baghdad at 50, 60 miles an hour, any other Iraqi city, jumping meridians, smashing into Iraqi vehicles, running over Iraqi civilians. You know, we interviewed 50 combat veterans, all on the record, and they were all briefed before they went into theater that if an Iraqi civilian, including a child, ran in front of those convoys, they were not to stop, even if they hit them. Detentions, raids, and then, of course, when IEDs, when improvised explosive devices go off or they are ambushed, they lay down withering, suppressing fire with belt-fed saws. These are light 7.62 machine guns, automatic grenade launchers, and sometimes 50-caliber machine guns. Now, as somebody who's seen these weapons at work, you are spraying an area probably well over the size of a football field with hundreds of bullets, and they don't stop and inspect the damage. So collateral damage is, you know, Orwellian speak for war atrocities. And I think that one of the disturbing things for us, and that's, of course, why we spent 7 months tracking down these veterans and interviewing them, and I would guess for Les as well, is how absolutely unaware the American public seems to be as to the massive number of civilian casualties that have been caused directly, are directly caused by our occupation of Iraq.
Well,
can I add to that?
Go right ahead, Les, yes.
There was a poll done by the University of Maryland a little bit more than a year ago that asked Americans at that time, how many American soldiers do you think have died? And the answer, the median answer, the middle answer, where half the people said higher and half said lower, was 3,000 at a time when the truth was 3,100. Then they asked, how many Iraqis do you think have died? And the median answer was 9,900. So they knew exactly how many American soldiers had died. And on average, Americans thought more or less about 2% of reality of the number of Iraqis have died. And this is not by chance.
Mm-hmm.
When our first study came out and reporters called the Centers for Disease Control, our National Institute for Epidemiology, and said, is there someone there who can comment on this? They said, no, sorry, no one here can comment. But there is a statistician from Harvard who's familiar with the work, and they gave him the guy's name and number. He actually wasn't at Harvard. He was sitting at the American Enterprise Institute, and he had been a signatory on the Project for the New American Century. So the U.S. government, by forbidding the most skilled scholars in this subject from testifying before Congress, by diverting press inquiries, has worked hard to create this ignorance that Chris talks about.
Yeah. That's Dr. Les Roberts. Chris Hedges is with us, too, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment about the loss of life in Iraq, give us a call, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. And, gentlemen, I invited you on the show today because I believe this is a very important set of information for Americans to have. And with just a few days remaining to our presidential election, it's tragic to me that Iraq is so far from the top of the agenda. And in particular, the true cost of America's occupation, not only measured in the billions, the tens and hundreds of billions of dollars that we've spent and the 4,000 plus American lives lost, but in the true damage that really we will pay a price for long into the future. And I believe that the media and our political leaders share in the complicity of trying to either play down these issues. Certainly, they're not working to bring them to our attention. Les Roberts, how do you feel about the way Iraq has really been reduced as an issue in this year's campaign?
Well, I think there are a couple of things that are wrong in terms of how I feel about that. The first is for John McCain to say again and again and again that the surge has worked. Look at this 80% reduction in deaths. A, I don't think that's true. I think they've actually fudged the numbers a little bit. We can talk about how they've done that. And B, you know, getting down to the point where they only have the equivalent of maybe two 9/11 attacks per month in a population the same size as New York is still appalling. So that's thought number one. There's a certain lack of compassion about saying, oh, things are all better in Iraq today. And then secondly, most importantly, we can't imagine how we appear in the eyes of the world. I did a study this summer on the Somali border in Ethiopia, and you always need a recall time when you start asking about events. And we realized that the invasion of Mogadishu, the invasion of Somalia, and Eid were all just 3 days apart back there about 2 years ago now. And so we started using those dates, and no one remembered those dates, but by chance, that Eid was the day Saddam was put to death. And in these villages, where no one had televisions, where most people didn't have radios, absolutely everyone could remember whether a thing happened before or after Saddam's being put to death, which they all, by the way, use the phrase tortured to death.
Mm.
And I think that our lack of contrition over this issue of civilian deaths has really made us look like a belligerent, untrustworthy nation. And the next administration is going to have a lot of work to change that perception, I fear.
That's Dr. Les Roberts from Columbia University. Also with us is Chris Hedges. Chris, I'll give you a shot at that question after the break. Chris is the co-author of Collateral Damage, America's War Against Iraqi Civilians, and he served for many years with distinction as the New York Times Middle East Bureau Chief. We'll continue in a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
As a boy, I worked the fields to help make ends meet, so I know firsthand how a slow economy hurts families who can't pay the bills.
Senator Abel Maldonado.
That's why I'm working to bring jobs to California and keep costs down on working people. It's why I'm fighting to reduce reliance on foreign oil by working to expand usage of solar power and renewable energy. And why I fought special interest to provide increased access to prescription drugs.
Senator Maldonado earned a 95% rating from the California Chamber of Commerce for his efforts to improve the economy. Americans for Tax Reform honored Abel as a hero of the taxpayer.
Government has failed taxpayers time and time again. That's why I authored legislation requiring independent audits of government agencies. And that's why I returned tens of thousands in pay and living expenses to taxpayers.
Senator Abel Maldonado, independent leadership for us.
Paid for by Maldonado for Senate, 2008.
And protect your investments. Custom painting. Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate. Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. With Quality Counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs. Conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
I tried taking so long. The second night after
Come on, we're fighting them over there so we don't have to fight them over here. That's justifiable anger from John Fogarty. Can't take it no mo. We're talking with Dr. Les Roberts, a medical doctor and public health administrator. He's at Columbia University, and he helped guide these studies about casualties in Iraq. Also with us, the co-author of Collateral Damage, Chris Hedges. As I mentioned, he's with The Nation magazine and also worked for the New York Times as Middle East Bureau Chief for many years. And to you next, Chris, about the way the issues of the war are such back burner in this year's election.
Well, I'm very frustrated with both Obama and McCain. And let's not forget about Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
Civilian deaths in Afghanistan have risen markedly in the past. Just this year, there are three quarters. More than double what it was last year. And we've seen, a tremendous resurgence of the Taliban, they now control about 50% of the country, and when we went into Afghanistan, they controlled about 75% of the country, and 50% of the country, both daylight and nighttime hours. And then because we're short-staffed in terms of military personnel, there's been an increased reliance on aerial bombardment, which is also true, by the way, in Iraq.
That's right.
Including bombings, aerial bombings in Sadr City. And we don't go count the dead. We don't count them, and we don't want to count them.
Mm-hmm.
So we are seeing, a resurgence of the insurgency or the Taliban in Afghanistan, and a correlating rise in civilian deaths.
Mm-hmm.
Not surprisingly. My frustration is that both the candidates talk about increasing troop levels in Afghanistan as if somehow that's going to solve the problem. I mean,
yes.
It's very clear that the occupation forces are probably the best recruiting weapon that the insurgents have.
And in Afghanistan, we don't have a defined mission. We don't have an exit strategy, and I share your concerns. Chris, I want to turn to the introduction of your book, where you quote a man I've met many times, Sergeant Jeff Millard. He served in Tikrit in the 42nd Infantry Division, is now active with Iraq Vets Against the War, and writes for Truth Out. And he describes, he said, this unit sets up a traffic control point, an 18-year-old kid's on top of a Humvee with a 50-caliber machine gun. And this car speeds at him pretty quick, and he makes a split-second decision that it's a suicide bomber. He presses the butterfly trigger, puts 200 rounds in less than a minute into this vehicle, and dead or a mother, a father, two kids aged 4 and 3. And then they briefed this to the general, Millard said, and briefed it gruesome. They briefed it to him, and this colonel turns around to this full division staff and says, if these effing Hajis learned to drive, this stuff wouldn't happen. Now, that shows the damage on both sides, because certainly 4 Iraqis lost their lives there, but the value of life was cheapened for those troops through that episode.
Yeah, and one of the things we found in doing these interviews, which are hundreds of hours of interviewing these veterans, was that undercurrent of racism, which Millard, I think, accurately points out,
mm-hmm.
Was just endemic. And there is what Robert J. Lifton calls he calls these kinds of conflicts where you're fighting an elusive enemy. He was writing about the Vietnam War, but he calls them atrocity producing situations, by which he means that there's a very short psychological transference where when you're fighting an enemy who you can't see and that enemy is inflicting casualties and killing people in your unit, suddenly that hostile population becomes the enemy and a legitimate target for reprisal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just as that was true in Vietnam, it is also true in Iraq.
And Dr. Les Roberts, in 30 seconds, if you can, what is the true price Americans will pay for our denial about what we've done in Iraq?
Loss of status in the world, creating a lot of enemies overseas. After the Vietnam War, twice as many soldiers killed themselves as had died in the Vietnam War. And I think, as Chris just hinted, there is going to be a terrible psychological toll to pay among our veterans as they return.
Well, thank you both for joining us today, and keep fighting to make Americans aware of the true carnage in Iraq. Thank you, gentlemen, Dr. Les Roberts and Chris Hedges, co-author of Collateral Damage.
Thank you, Peter.
Thanks, Peter.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. 35,000 men in their 50s and older have been taking part in the largest prostate cancer prevention trial ever. To find out whether taking selenium or vitamin E or a combination of both might reduce the risk of prostate cancer. Known by the acronym SELECT for Selenium Vitamin E Cancer Trial, doctors at more than 400 sites across the country have been given combinations of the vitamin and the mineral and placebos to find out. But a CBS News medical correspondent, Dr. John LaPook, reported last night,
CBS News has learned patients are being told to stop taking the pills because they don't seem to work.
Taking selenium or vitamin E at the doses that we used in the SELECT trial for an average of 5 years did not prevent prostate cancer.
That's Dr. Eric Klein of the Cleveland Clinic. Disappointing, to say the least. More about it after this.
Paper towels, rock salt.
Most people don't know what's in CSX freight trains, so we made a list.
Shoes, steel rivets.
CSX trains move over a million tons of freight every day.
Wheat, refrigerators, orange juice, hybrid cars, lumber.
Are we almost done?
Not even close, my friend. Jogging shorts, mustard.
Let's just say if it's in your life, it's probably on our trains. Go to CSX.com to learn more. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Check this out. Hello there. How are you doing? Have you met my friend Bill yet?
Why is there some guy on the back of your bike winking at me?
Oh, that's my wingman. I save so much money on motorcycle insurance by switching to Geico. I rented a wingman.
He has two tickets to paradise and needs a travel companion.
Hey, he is good.
Saving you money on your motorcycle insurance is our business. What you do with the money is your business.
Oh, yeah.
Geico Motorcycle. Let's ride.
More than 28,000 American men will die of prostate cancer this year. It's the second leading cause of cancer deaths among men. It was hoped that this major trial of two antioxidants, vitamin E and the mineral selenium, which occur in small amounts in food, might have a pronounced effect, taken in larger doses, in reducing the risk of prostate cancer. But the trial, which is now being halted, shows otherwise.
I'm disappointed with the study. I'm very concerned about the results of the trial. I would have hoped that this would have been the way to prevent cancer in this country.
Urologist Dr. Aaron Katz spoke with one of the men in the trial.
He's concerned. You've got to be concerned. You're hearing the results of a national trial that you participated in and now finding that perhaps I may have increased my risk of developing the disease.
The Cleveland Clinic's Dr. Eric Klein says that is not the major concern.
The safety issues are of more minor concern and bear further follow-up.
But the fact that it doesn't work, says our Dr. LaPook.
This is a major disappointment, but it's also progress, because it's important to know what doesn't work to prevent cancer.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Robbins Jewelry in Carmel is open every day for your holiday and gift shopping. Robbins Jewelry is one of a kind, unique, and stylish. She uses sterling silver and semi-precious stones and will customize a keepsake right there on the spot. Robin is a native Carmel artist and silversmith. She's located inside the Dowd Craft Studio at Ocean and San Carlos. Robin has a big selection of organic bling. Great jewelry that's affordable. With free engraving and gift wrapping, go to Robbins Jewelry in Carmel.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I have not received my bailout yet, so if you'd like to help support our program, go to peterbcollins.com and click on the link that says, "You can help."
Taking and giving my day by day.
Joining me this half hour to talk about a variety of issues is journalist Eric Umansky. He's now writing for the new nonprofit public interest website called ProPublica. And last time I talked with you, Eric, you were writing for Mother Jones magazine.
Indeed. I've changed my overlord.
Okay. How's it going?
It's going very well. It's going very well. We are writing about all sorts of abuse of power that's going on today.
Give us a quick sense of ProPublica. I know this is a new entity that started up earlier this year, and I believe it's funded by some philanthropists from the Bay Area, Herb and Marion Sandler.
That's right. It's a new investigative newsroom that we are actually the largest investigative newsroom in the country. There are about 25 journalists who work there, and we explore abuses of power in any realm, whether it be business, government, and in any realm. You know, we specifically look at abuse of power and accountability.
Well,
we do it both. We do it both on our website and with partner media outlets.
And that includes PBS television. You've done some partnerships with Frontline. Am I right?
We've been talking with Frontline. We've had we had a segment on 60 Minutes this summer.
Mm-hmm.
We've worked with a number of newspapers and magazines, really across the board.
All right. And ProPublica, spelled ProPublica.org, is the website, ProPublica.org. Well, I want to focus on two of the areas that you've been, I guess these are your beat these days. And first up, I want to take a look at the status of the bailout. We heard cries from both Democratic leaders and from the White House today with various levels of either anger or vitriol aimed at the bankers who have received at least a portion of the bailout money that's been promised them. And many of these banks appear to be ready to use that money to buy other banks or to pay dividends to their shareholders, but not to free up the credit system and start lending money to qualified borrowers again.
Yeah, that's right. The notion of the bailout was give the money to banks, and in turn, as you just say, they will lend out the money, and therefore it'll free up this credit crisis that we've had. What seems to have happened is, in the rush or whatever the backstory is, the bailout bill did not have any language requiring banks to lend out money. So they have it. I mean, that's the short of it. Now, whether or not that is such a bad thing in terms of whether they use the money to merge with other banks, that might not be such a bad thing. We actually just spoke to some economists who said, that's a mixed bag. But it's not what it was expected.
Well, and it certainly isn't a free market approach. And, I'm not a free market purist here, but I do believe that capitalists should play by their own rules as often as possible. And so it troubles me that the people responsible for the economic meltdown have not been asked to put any money into the bailout fund. And number two, that Henry Paulson, a former Goldman Sachs guy who is, you know, certainly in sync with the financial community, appears to be unwilling to really play hardball with his old buddies. And we heard about this scene at the Treasury about a week and a half ago where the CEOs of major banks were called in and he treated them like third graders. Here's a term sheet. You either sign it and take our money or the offer expires when you leave here. Now, here he appeared to be, really hammering the leaders of America's top banks. But as you point out, he didn't even require that they use the money in part or in some manner to free up the credit system in the country.
Yeah, that's right. And frankly, I think we're going to learn a fair amount more as time goes on in terms of what happened exactly at that meeting. The stories of it, as you said, all gave this very consistent approach of Hank Paulson being quite tough with them and quite stern and saying, you sign here. Let's see over time how the story really bears out.
Mm-hmm. And so, I do understand that trust is at the bottom of all of this stuff, that we had banks that wouldn't trust banks, and so the interbank lending dried up. And that, trust is something that cannot be imposed or legislated. At the same time, that's our money that they're throwing at these for-profit entities. And while they spin it that, oh, we're getting preferred shares, and in the end of all this, the taxpayers could be made whole or actually make a profit on this, I don't buy that. And given the loosey-goosey approach where first the money, the $750 billion promised by Congress, was going to be used to buy bad paper, now we're buying stock in banks, and who knows what Paulson will attempt to do next. But it doesn't seem to me, and of course we have a snapshot here on Tuesday of the market up 900 points, but that's a momentary factor. And just the volatility in the stock market and the lack of movement in the credit markets suggests to me that this bailout is still searching for its target.
Yeah, I think we're definitely going to see over time how this thing bears out. And one of the crucial issues is right or wrong, or, you know, exactly if it's the right target or not, are there the oversight mechanisms and the transparency mechanisms in place so that we can make reasonable judgments about it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's still in flux, too.
Yeah. We're talking with Eric Umansky here on the Peter B. Collins Show. ProPublica is the website where he's publishing now. That's ProPublica.org. Now, one of the issues that's come up is that AIG, this huge insurance behemoth, that has so far accepted over $120 billion in taxpayer bailout money, has only begrudgingly decided to suspend its lobbying activities. And California Senator Feinstein is planning to introduce some legislation that will force them to stop lobbying, but it appears that the exposure has at least caused them to suspend their lobbying efforts as of this date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. What you had, you know, when the government essentially nationalized Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they sent a message to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, who were huge lobbyists, and said, shut off your lobbying operation this moment. Well, the government bought 80% of AIG, so it didn't fully nationalize it, but you and I and every other taxpayer are now majority owners. But because it is not fully nationalized, there was no law that said they can no longer lobby. So they kept on lobbying, and they kept on lobbying until we and the Wall Street Journal pointed it out and, you know, talked to some folks who said perhaps that wasn't the greatest idea in the world. And then, lo and behold, they make an announcement that they have suspended their lobbying, and we will see what happens over time.
Yeah. And you know, I'm not one of those people who believes that all lobbying is evil. There can be good issues that either public interest groups or even corporate groups lobby for. But given the situation here, it's pretty tawdry for AIG to be out there lobbying for, say, looser oversight and regulation.
Yeah, and that is, in fact, one of the things that they were doing. One of the bills that they were lobbying for was that they were lobbying against, essentially to undermine, was a bill that had some new provisions to limit mortgage fraud. Well, I mean, you know, it's an interesting thing that they would push to lobby against that bill. And, you know, lobbying now, again, as a nearly wholly taxpayer-owned corporation.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that I would expect from the street, given that even John McCain and Alan Greenspan have decried the lack of regulation and at least talked about the need for a new wave of regulation of hedge funds, of the derivatives market, and other speculative types of investments, do you think that the industries will try to get out front and get friendly, Joe Lieberman, to carry a bill favorable to them that would impose lighter regulation than the kind of effort that might come from a broad-based effort that brings in all the constituent groups?
Yeah, I think there's no question that industries, the bank industry, the mutual fund industry, the various securities industries, are going to represent their interests to the fullest in Washington, right? They're going to want to have their say on Capitol Hill. And you already see that, in fact, you already saw that with the bailout bill, in which case you saw some quotes in the run-up to the bailout bill about how, you know, this was 0 hour for the banking industry lobby. I mean, you had, I've heard numbers of thousands of lobbyists who were poring over this stuff and who were picking up the phone and making house calls. This was the big game for them, and I think it will continue to be for months on end. And, you know, as you point out, some of these changes that they push might be perfectly reasonable. There's no assumption that it's a bad policy suggestions that they're making. Again, the question is simply, let's just have some transparency and be aware of what they're doing, and then, you know, we can make informed decisions.
Well, and those about to be regulated should not be the only ones at the table devising the regulatory rules and enforcement schemes. That's what we've had in the past. And, you know, we've heard Chris Cox at the SEC talk about the voluntary regulation that didn't really work. But we also haven't seen any real meaningful effort coming from the SEC to regulate the areas that it already has jurisdiction over.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, you've seen Chris Cox, the chairman of the SEC, make some suggestions about stuff. I would hazard to guess that perhaps no significant changes will happen until, say, January 20th or so.
Eric Umansky is our guest here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Again, you can read his work at ProPublica.org. That's a new website and investigative journalism entity. And I want to turn to your other beat. You are watching the bailout and also Guantanamo Bay. Is there a nexus there?
That's right. You know, if you engage in securities fraud, you never know where you're going to end up.
Yeah. Well, a number of interesting developments recently at Guantanamo. We've had some cases dismissed. We've had another military lawyer resign in protest over the kangaroo court process that's underway there. And in one piece that you published on October 1st, Eric, you detailed six principled prosecutors at Guantanamo who resigned in protest over various issues. And I want to single these people out because I believe that their courage at this time is something that we should acknowledge and promote. Because, for example, when Colin Powell recently endorsed Barack Obama, with my listeners, we kind of went back over the history. And while I'm getting ready to forgive Colin Powell for his speech at the United Nations February 5th of 2003, which helped seal the deal to invade Iraq, I still feel that he could have done much more to expose the torture policies, the unlimited detention plan at Guantanamo, because he was skunked inside the administration by Addington and Cheney and Rumsfeld, who devised this plan while he and other State Department officials were diligently working on one that, you know, complied with the Geneva Conventions and was consistent with the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah, no, it is. There are plenty of administration officials, and I think, frankly, we are learning more just about every week in terms of the history of this stuff, who were quite involved in developing the policies at Guantanamo Bay and condoning abusive interrogations. I think the evidence to that is, is pretty overwhelming. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I need to take a break. When we return, I want you to talk about a case that you have written about that you think should have resulted in a dismissal, but the charges remain in place against a prisoner at Guantanamo Bay. We'll continue with Eric Umansky in just a moment. Read his work at ProPublica.org. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Nick Tanham's on duty today, taking your calls at 888-5-PETER-B.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hello, my name is Bill Monning, and I'm the Democratic Party nominee running for California's 27th Assembly District seat. As a professor, attorney, mediator, and community activist, I have worked to introduce a new culture of mediation and conflict resolution in our courts and our schools. A vote for Bill Monning is a vote for state budget reform, a strong education system, health care reform, and an effective emergency response network. To preserve our pristine environment and build our economy, we must encourage and support green technology, green building, alternative energy, and sustainable water resource management. Despite the gravity of the many challenges we face, I remain committed to the belief that working together we can make a difference. Please vote for Bill Monning for the 27th Assembly District seat. Contact our office at 655-1792 or visit the website at billmonning.org. Thank you. Paid for by Friends of Bill Monning.
Socolo Mexican Restaurant is proud to announce the opening of our newest restaurant in Old Town Salinas, located at 321 Main Street. As with our original location in Pacific Grove, Socolo features Angus beef, handmade tortillas, and the freshest ingredients available. Socolo offers many unique specials like pozole verde, chicken mole, and albondigas. You won't find frozen meats or canned tomatoes at Socolo. Now with two locations to serve you at 321 Main Street in Old Town Salinas, for reservations and takeout, call 424-1047. That's 424-1047. Or if you're on the Monterey Peninsula, visit us at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number there is 373-7911. That's 373-7911. Socolo Restaurant, the place to go when you're looking for quality, authentic Mexican food.
On the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes in front of the hour, we're talking about the situation at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Eric Umansky, journalist with ProPublica.org, is with us here on the PBC show. And, Eric, before the break, I was kind of dissing Colin Powell, because there are many administration officials who did know what was going on at Guantanamo Bay and either kept silent or largely avoided discussing these issues when they could have done something about them. And I want to contrast that with Lieutenant Colonel Daryl Vandeveld, because he resigned his commission there as a judge advocate general, a military lawyer at Guantanamo. Tell us why, and tell us about the case of Mohammed Jawad.
Sure. Well, Major Vandeveld, he resigned, according to an affidavit that was later presented in court, basically a letter from him explaining why he resigned. And basically what he said is that Mohammed Jawad, this detainee at Guantanamo Bay who's facing war crimes charges, was, in his opinion, in Vandeveld's opinion, the prosecutor's opinion, innocent. And this is a quote from it. He believed that Jawad had been duped into the alleged attack that he was accused of, and that furthermore he was a child soldier and that he had likely been drugged. In other words, somebody who is now at Guantanamo Bay, Mohammed Jawad, appears to be facing war crimes charges for something he may or may not have engaged in, but whatever it was, he was a child soldier at the time, and he was basically forced to do whatever he did, if in fact he did it. So it's a bizarre case, but it really is rest on the thinnest of evidence, and it's clearly upset Vandeveld sufficiently that he just resigned. And he basically said, among other things, that prosecutors were not showing evidence to the defense that they were required to show. evidence that he said suggested that Jawad could be innocent.
Mm-hmm.
That Jawad had been abused while in custody, had been abused while at Guantanamo Bay. And again, you know, the prosecutors were trying to sort of bury that.
So, and how does this dovetail with the comment, I believe, attributed to an officer named Thomas Hartman? I can remember his name because my friend, the radio show host, has the same name. But
yeah,
it's either Colonel or General Hartman at Guantanamo. And he was quoted by another attorney who resigned from that post as saying that there couldn't be any innocence. There could not be any verdicts of innocent coming out of this process. And the argument was, well, gosh, you know, if somebody comes out of here innocent, it'll give credibility to the process. And he said, no, 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 no. And I believe that was backed up by Jim Haynes, who was the counsel at the Pentagon, who was in charge of Guantanamo until he resigned about a year ago.
That's right. General Hartman, and he is a general,
thank you,
has been a very pivotal figure at Guantanamo Bay and a little recognized one. He held the position of legal advisor to the court of Guantanamo Bay. The key thing to understand about courts at Guantanamo Bay is that, surprise, they are not independent, so that it's not that a judge sits separately, completely separately from the prosecutor. The way it works at Guantanamo Bay is a judge does, in fact, have some independence, but the overarching authority, the sort of the bosses, basically, of the judges are, in fact, also the bosses of the prosecutor. They're Pentagon officials. And the top legal advisor there is this General Hartman. And General Hartman, as you just said, had made these suggestions like we can't have any, you know, we can't have any acquittals here. We need to go after this guy, and we need to do it quickly because it would make for good PR. And again, he was, according to other prosecutors who've resigned, he was making these inappropriate comments. And in fact, judges in the case, even though Hartman was ultimately above them in the hierarchy, judges three different times had recused Hartman from cases and said, this guy is basically making, you know, comments that are biased toward the prosecutors, and you got to get away from the trial. Three different times that happened, and now, actually, there was just a report this weekend saying Hartman is under investigation. And so he's really being pushed to the sidelines, you get the sense, but he was there for a long time, and, you know, if it's justice, it's slow moving.
Now, Eric Umansky, it was my impression, and I generated this all on my own, that the Bush administration wanted to see a series of show trials with convictions prior to the upcoming elections, just a few days away now. And it seems to have gone pretty much off track. Is that because of these principled military lawyers who have been unwilling to just play the part, deliver their lines, and follow the script supplied by the Pentagon?
I think you're seeing a lot of principled people come out of the woodwork and, frankly, muck up what, you know, might have been a planned process or not. But certainly it was the administration was trying to move things along quickly. Certainly, according to prosecutors' testimony, the administration was trying to get, quote-unquote, you know, high-profile, good PR cases.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of the reality of it, that was their aim. And you had prosecutors who were resigning and challenging that. And then you've also had a lot of judges who have challenged some of these pushes by the administration. And the administration, mm-hmm. you know, is ultimately their boss in the structure.
Well, but they're prevailing on the Uyghurs case. There's a principal judge in Washington who ordered them released, but that's been appealed, and they're going to gum it to death and run out the clock.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's clear that, you know, you have people standing up, you have people making principled objections, and you still have an incredibly slow-moving process if it, in fact, is even moving forward.
Yeah. Eric, a pleasure talking with you again, and I want people to go to ProPublica.org and read your work every day. You're keeping pretty busy.
Great. Thanks very much for having me.
All right. Good to talk with you. That is ProPublica, P-U-B-L-I-C-A, ProPublica.org. We've been talking with journalist Eric Umansky. We'll take a break and return. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. You can share a podcast with a friend. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. We'll be right back.
talking with Coach Dennis about how to get fit and get rich while helping others do the same.
That's right, Peter. You can earn extra money from your home or office on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Your health, your body, and your net worth come down to one thing, taking action. Control your own destiny. As an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a better life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. Hundreds of other successful online coaches nationwide are getting fit and getting rich and living the dream lifestyle that comes with a thriving internet business. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It couldn't be easier. Get fit and get rich. It's all done part-time, it's all done online, and it's all done when you have the time. Call me now, 702-299-5789. No obligation, that's 702-299-5789. Or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Huge gain for the Dow. It's back above 9,000.
One day makes not a trend, but at least we've got something going for ourselves today.
A week to go in Campaign 08.
Obama and McCain are in a battle for Pennsylvania. I'm Howard Arenstein.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. A rally just before the closing bell pushed the Dow up 889 points, nearly 11%, to close at 9,065. Marilyn Cohen, president of Envision Capital Management in Los Angeles, is happy but not ecstatic.
I would be very excited, and my verbiage would be at a significantly higher octave if we have big volume, but we don't. So one day makes not a trend, but at least we've got something going for ourselves today.
Tomorrow, the Fed is widely expected to cut interest rates again. With the threat of inflation fading, CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says traders see a buying opportunity.
There's definitely some hope on the street that we're going to start seeing banks lending more to each other and then, of course, lending more to consumers and businesses, a major positive for the stock market. But also, let's remember, these stocks have been beaten down so badly, you can now get real bargains. Stocks haven't been this cheap in about two decades.
It might take a while for ordinary Americans to feel hopeful again.
Consumer confidence took a big drop in the latest month. And the level is lower than anything we've ever seen.
Ken Goldstein of the Conference Board attributes the drop to people worrying about their jobs. The U.S. Treasury is pumping billions into the banking system. White House spokesman Dana Perino says the Bush administration will be watching very closely to see the result.
What we're trying to do is get banks to do what they are supposed to do, which is support the system that we have in America. And banks exist to lend money. That's how they make money.
Congress will be watching, too.
I'm Dan Revive in Washington. The chairman of the House Oversight Committee, Henry Waxman, has written to the chief executives of nine banks that have sold stock to the federal government. Waxman is asking them to give details about and justify high salaries and bonuses paid to bank employees. Obviously using much of the $125 billion investment by the government for huge bonuses. Bank executives say to keep talented people on staff, that is necessary. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Now this.
Today, let's talk about commuting. You think yours is tough? Fact is, our cars and trucks just gotta take it. That's why right now there's good wrench and go time to help your Chevy continue to take it. Just go back to your participating Chevy dealer and head down their good wrench service lane for an oil change, tire rotation, and a good wrench multi-point vehicle inspection. And while you're there, have them check your tires. Should you need them, they can recommend the proper tires for your Chevy. Good wrench and go. We're keeping it simple. Offer ends November 30th.
From their own 21.
When it comes to football, some search engines get you lost in all the links, but not Yahoo Search. To prove it, we switched Steve's Google page with Yahoo. And cut his cable.
Well, where's the game?
Oh, you can still get your football fix. Type a player's name into Yahoo Search.
Okay. Beautiful stats, news, game logs, all right there. Even fantasy rankings.
You need to trade that bum.
You think?
Switch to Yahoo Search and get straight to your answers. Start now at Yahoo.com.
Yahoo!
The country decides in 7 days, and what Pennsylvania decides could determine the outcome of the presidential election. Both candidates focused on that battleground state today.
This is an unbelievable crowd for this kind of weather.
Barack Obama drew thousands to a Pennsylvania rally in a cold rain.
Whether it's rain or sleet or snow, we are going to vote.
John McCain was in Pennsylvania, too, telling supporters in Hershey Obama keeps lowering the salary level for his tax cuts.
At this rate, it won't be long before Senator Obama is right back to his vote that Americans making just $42,000 a year should get a tax increase.
Obama has a double-digit lead in the state, but McCain says he can still take it a week from today. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Newspapers are cutting back as they lose circulation. Today, the Christian Science Monitor went a step farther, announcing its daily print edition will be dropped in favor of online publishing. The New York Times says Time Magazine will restructure, eliminating more than 600 jobs. Former Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick learned his sentence today.
You're going to serve 120 days in the Wayne County Jail as part of a probationary term of 5 years.
Kilpatrick was forced from office after pleading guilty to obstruction of justice for lying under oath when he denied having an affair with his chief of staff. Transcripts of their steamy text messages told a different story. Four young men are charged with capital murder in the fatal shootings of two students on the University of Central Arkansas campus. A third student was wounded. Prosecutors say it looks like a deadly mistake. They don't think the victims were the people the suspects were gunning for. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your gas gauge.
Oh, my needle is asleep.
What's wrong, gas gauge?
For some reason, I haven't been moving.
Oh, well, that's probably because I got the Works Fuel Saver package at the dealership.
Oh.
Yeah, it's an oil change, tire rotation, and more, just $29.95 or less after a $10 mail-in rebate.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to stop for a sandwich. Do you want anything?
No, thanks. I'm full.
Oh, good one.
Taxes, diesel, and disposal fee extra. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for rebate details through 11-30-08.
An official message from Medicare.
Today I found out that my drug plan's monthly premium changed. So I compared other plans and found similar coverage at a better price.
Now's the time to review and compare Medicare prescription drug plans. From November 15th to December 31st, you can even change your plan. Call 1-800-MEDICARE. That's 1-800-MEDICARE. Or visit Medicare.gov and use the plan finder to see options in your state. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on later this hour. Our weekly visit with journalist Jason Leopold from the Public Record. He's got updates on Sarah Palin's deposition in the Troopergate investigation. And also the election fraud watch in Ohio. That's coming up later. In a moment, we'll meet Margaret Dooley Samuli, a proponent of one of the ballot measures, one of the dirty dozen that you face in the polls this November. And this portion of our program is brought to you by Proposition Zero.
The following is paid propaganda from the committee to vote yes on no, with major funding from whining fat cats, trust fund yuppies, and PR firms with very flexible ethics. If you're like me, you're tired of being blasted on the radio and the TV with heavy-handed, one-sided political commercials. Our committee is sponsoring a write-in ballot proposition for this November's election that'll let you say no to agitprop from big oil, big booze, big business, and big mouth political consultants. It's Proposition Zero, the proposition to end all future propositions. When you go into the voting booth, just write in Proposition Zero. Then vote yes on the no proposition proposition. Your yes vote will say no to the tactics of distortion, lies, innuendo, and personal attack. Your yes vote means no more tricky counter-propositions from the industries threatened by other propositions on the same ballot. Your yes vote means no more fees to corporate law firms trying to rewrite the laws to suit their deep-pocket clients. And your yes vote means no more insulting radio and TV ads with bad dialogue. If you're the kind of voter who answers no opinion when the pollsters call, Proposition Zero will fully protect your constitutional right to have no opinion and keep it to yourself. So forget everything else you've heard and just say no to it all. Vote yes on Proposition Zero.
Yes, we have 12 ballot measures confronting California voters this year. It is a dizzying array. A couple of golden oldies there, the one on parental choice or parental consent for a minor abortion, and also the same-sex marriage ban. Those are reruns. And to some extent, Proposition 5 is an extension of Proposition 36. To talk about it, we invited Margaret Dooley Samuli to join us from the Drug Policy Alliance Network. Margaret, thanks for being on the program today.
Thanks for having me.
And I know in most cases you're paired up with Jerry Brown or, you know, somebody who is an opponent of this measure. But I have noticed that this is a very one-sided debate, if it's going on at all, and that the elected officials, law enforcement folks, and others who have joined forces to try to block and defeat Proposition 5 are very well oiled, and I believe that they're misleading California voters. So I wanted to give you this time without somebody, you know, chewing on your ankles to describe in a rational way what Proposition 5 proposes to do, and a little bit later we'll talk about why these elected officials have ganged up against it. So give us a quick sketch of what the intention of Prop 5 is.
Prop 5 is really about using drug treatment for young people and nonviolent offenders to put the brakes on our out-of-control prison growth in California. I mean, there's no doubt what's behind our opposition campaign, and that is a lot of money from the Prison Guards Union.
Yep.
Because Prop 5 means real reductions in prison overcrowding, putting the brakes on new prison growth, and it means a new approach to dealing with our state's drug problems. But here we have a well-funded Prison Guards Union pushing us to keep using jail and prison as the answer when we know that's not working.
And we have pandering politicians who joined forces with the CCPOA, that's the California Correctional Peace Officers Association. They have a very well-funded PAC. Every prison guard in California donates a little under $100 a month to their campaign fund. And it is used to propel policy measures that generally ensure either full employment or expanded employment for prison guards by leading to longer sentences and promoting draconian parole schemes. Yesterday, we talked about two other ugly ballot measures, 6 and 9, that are being promoted by a variety of people, some who are quite tainted in their own contact with the criminal justice system. But on Prop 5, what are the hot buttons here that are causing them to close ranks with the Prison Guards Union and protect the narrow self-interest of that group?
Well, that's really what it is. It's about groups that benefit when we spend more on enforcement and less on treatment. It's groups that benefit when they pay lip service to rehabilitation, but push against any increase in spending on rehabilitation in the community or behind bars. And this is really about the Prison Guards Union. They've put in 75% of the money, 75% of $2.5 million into deceptive TV ads. And, you know, with all of this speculation that Dianne Feinstein and Jerry Brown may be both going for a 2010 gubernatorial candidacy, I think they're trying to make good with the unions now. You can't become governor without the union. You know, in 1980 there were 5,000 prison guards.
Mm-hmm.
Now there are 31,000.
Yeah.
And
well,
they pay, as you said, $100 a month. So competing with that is difficult.
Margaret, I'm a staunch labor guy. I support unions. I've been a member of mine for over 30 years. But I draw the line at the way the prison guards union in this state operates, because it is bare-knuckled in the way they approach politicians. And they threaten them. They say, you either support us or we will pour money into your opponent at the next election and ensure your defeat. And they have played games with the last few governors and gubernatorial candidates with a huge political war chest where they say, if you don't do as we say, we'll spend this money with your opponent and defeat you. And as a result, they have incredible clout in Sacramento. And I've gone up there. I have lobbied for the rights of life prisoners in the parole system in this state. And I went up to testify before a Senate committee a few years ago on behalf of a bill that would require them simply to observe the law as it's currently written. Okay? And that means that the parole board is supposed to set a date for somebody who comes before them unless there's evidence to the contrary. And what happened in this hearing is that the prison guards have what's called the Doris Tate Crime Victims Bureau. And they bring out victims of crime who will testify at the drop of a hat. And I'm sorry to say this, they also produce tears at the drop of a hat. And they don't even argue rationally about the issue before them. They simply go up there and recite the sad details of a crime that occurred to one of their family members and then say, we cannot support this legislation in any way. And it blocks honest and objective approaches to dealing with the crime problem in the state, the huge prison overcrowding, the budget impacts that that creates. And now we have a showdown looming between a federal judge and the governor of California over the state's refusal to honor the court order to build a new prison, to reduce overcrowding, and to reduce the strain on the health care system in the prisons, which causes inmates to die. And yet the politicians prefer to pander to people's fears about crime than to solve the gnarly problems that they're confronting.
Well, that's really what it is, too. It's scare tactics. It's tugging at those emotional reactions. And it's getting us deeper and deeper into the hole. And really, it's giving us worse and worse public safety. We have 170,000 people behind bars in prisons built for 100,000. Every year, 120,000 of them turn over. They come out, and a new 120,000 go in. We're the only state in the country that puts more parolees back in prison than we put in prison through the court.
So, and when they go to prison, there are so few drug rehab slots available at every institution across the state that many of them are under court orders to complete these programs, and the programs aren't available.
And so
it's a catch-22, and you're trying to follow through on Prop 36 and provide an alternate system for nonviolent drug offenders. And Margaret, what's the current percentage of inmates of those 170,000 who are nonviolent drug offenders?
20%.
Mm-hmm.
But 85% of everybody behind bars has a drug problem. So that's why Prop 5 puts treatment in the community, but also behind bars where it hasn't been for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you do that, you must do that by reducing prison overcrowding. There's no room to do anything constructive behind bars. So we need to reduce that prison overcrowding, and Prop 5 turns to the experts, uses expert recommendations to propose very conservative changes to the system that will substantially and safely reduce overcrowding. This is exactly what has the prison industrial complex so nervous,
mm-hmm.
because this is a direct attack, basically, on their paychecks. And, you know, you were talking about labor, and this is again, a case where the prison guards union is going against the best interests of their members, because, as you mentioned, a federal court is considering a takeover of the entire $10 billion a year prison system. When that court takes over, they can rip up any contracts that the prison guards union has. They can ignore any agreements that union has had with any governor's administration. So, again, by opposing 5 and supporting 6 and 9, the prison guards union is really driving themselves to a breaking point.
Mm-hmm. So let's just quickly tick off here. Proposition 5 requires California to expand and increase funding and oversight for individualized treatment and rehab programs for nonviolent drug offenders and parolees. It reduces criminal consequences of nonviolent drug offenses by mandating three-tiered probation with treatment and by providing for case dismissal and sealing of records after probation. It limits a court's authority to incarcerate offenders who violate probation or parole. Now, describe that for us, Margaret. How would that change the status quo?
Well, currently, and I'll point out that what Prop 5 does is stops that revolving door for nonviolent parolees only. So currently, as I said, we're the only state that puts more people in prison from parole than through the court. And that's because we send people back to state prison for 4 months to a year for things like a failed drug test, missing a meeting, failing to mail back a letter. and all sorts of ridiculous administrative rule breaking where there need to be sanctions. But really, 4 months in state prison? That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But we do that in this state. So Prop 5 would really change the way we do that, allow for local sanctions either through through the parole officer or through the court or through jail, but minimize who's actually going back to prison. So nonviolent offenders wouldn't get sent back to prison except for a felony violation of parole, something that they would go to prison for. And, of course, violent parolees wouldn't benefit, so they continue to be under very close supervision.
Right, and those are the people we really need to be watching. We're going to take a break and continue with our guest who says yes on Proposition 5, Margaret Dooley Samuli. And if you have a question or comment, you can call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
I'm Amy Carrizosa, a peace officer in Monterey County. On behalf of 19 individual officer associations and the entire law enforcement community, we urge you to elect Todd Hornick, Monterey County Judge. Todd's opponent has never practiced law in Monterey County. While Todd has earned our support through his faithful and diligent efforts on behalf of Monterey County residents every day for the past 14 years, Todd Hornick is clearly the best qualified candidate for Monterey County Judge.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Okay, it's star time. Set the sonic transducer on program 8.
Program 8.
Secure all levels at 0.
0. My feet. I can't move my feet.
It's as if we're glued to the spot.
You are, so quake with fear, you tiny fools.
The Paperwing Theater Company proudly presents the Rocky Horror Show, playing October 29th through November 1st in New Monterey at 320 Hoffman Avenue. Don't miss the final presentation of the rock and roll audience participation favorite, playing for 6 shows only with special Halloween and Saturday midnight shows. Come in costume and bring your friends. Call 675-0521 for tickets and info. That's 675-0521. Tickets are going fast, so don't miss this award-winning presentation of the Rocky Horror Show. Call 675-0521 now.
You better believe it, baby.
Get Rocky Horror tickets now by calling 675-0521.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now on northbound Highway 1 at Fremont Boulevard, we have a traffic hazard. A hot tub is in the center divider. A briefcase is in lane number 1. CHP is on the scene. Next, we have a report of a fire on Castroville Boulevard at North County High School. Be very careful as cars are slowing down to look. A cruiser is on the way there. In weather, here are some temperatures for today. King City is 66 degrees and clear. Monterey is 57 degrees. Salinas is 66 degrees. Prunedale is also 66 degrees. Santa Cruz is 70. And Gilroy is 69 degrees. And that's traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a wonderful afternoon. Peter B. Collins will be right back.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. Whether you're an early voter or you'll go to the polls on Tuesday, November 4th, you've got a dozen ballot measures to digest and decide on. And one of them is Proposition 5, which offers alternatives to incarceration for nonviolent drug offenders. Proponent to Margaret Dooley, and is it Simuli? Am I saying that correctly?
Actually, it's Samuli, but Samuli. It's very tempting to say Dooley Simuli, so.
Well, it rhymes.
I know. It's memorable.
Samuli. Okay, thank you. And she is with the Drug Policy Alliance Network. And, Margaret, when I see these people lined up against Prop 5, Feinstein, Attorney General Brown, and you mentioned they both have ambitions to run for governor, in one case, again, also Bill Lockyer, the former attorney general, they all ganged up with Schwarzenegger to defeat the sensible amendments to the three strikes law in 2005 or 2006. It's a little fuzzy now. And it really struck me how Arnold Schwarzenegger demagogued that issue, because he got some last-minute money. The measure was about to pass with a huge margin, like 15, 18 points. Mm-hmm. And then Arnold went on TV and lied about it. He said 26,000 felons will be released. And that was patently false, as described by the judge who banned that very language from the state voter guide. But they came in late, and they defeated that measure. And what is the current standing of Prop 5? And do you suspect that late money is going to come in to try to undermine it as well?
Well, there's already quite a bit of money, and that will be spent on late time,
the last few
days before the election.
Yeah.
So it'll feel familiar to the campaign you're talking about. And it is indeed, it's going to be tough. We need to make sure we get out all the votes that we can from the yes side and make sure that we do as best as we can counter those deceptive, absolutely false claims that we're hearing now, like we heard back in 2000 with Prop 36 and back with Prop 66 that you're referring to. And what we find is that, we can make modest changes to drug treatment or sentencing reform, but if you really try something that's going to make a significant dent and a significant move towards solving our broken system, that's when the prison guards come in with all of their money. And, with Pete Wilson, Gray Davis,
yeah,
they both took huge amounts of money from the prison guards union before becoming governor. And, it's the sad thing is, in California, it looks like the prison guards union holds the key to the governor's mansion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think we're seeing that, and we're also seeing, with that kind of weight behind the opposition, you're seeing lots of politicians make the calculated choice that going with law enforcement and going with the union is easier than doing what's right, politically easier. But the truth is that it's, their ads are just as deceitful now as they were before Prop 66. It's, what's funny about Prop 66 and then Prop 6 and 9 is, where that money comes from, and that's Henry Nicholas, who, of course, after putting money into the 6 and 9 campaigns, was himself indicted on many charges, including drug charges.
Mm-hmm. And they had
the brutal irony of criminal justice reform in California.
They haven't returned his money or even repudiated his support, and, that shows a level of hypocrisy that even I find shocking.
it's really, when you look at who's running these initiatives and what they say and where their money comes from, it's so clearly special interest and groups concerned with keeping our prison system full and our money flowing into law enforcement and not rehabilitation. And it's just not what's good for California.
Yeah. At some point, I hope people will get rational and embrace the medical model of dealing with drug issues, not the criminal justice model.
And we really have seen some good success in this state. We can build on our own example, which is what Prop 5 does. Prop 36, which voters passed in 2000, has graduated 84,000 nonviolent drug offenders, saved the state $2 billion,
mm-hmm.
and according to UCLA, during that period, violent crime fell, and program completers, hands down, have a lower recidivism rate.
Yeah.
Margaret,
I'm sorry, our time is up, and I thank you for joining us today, and I urge a yes vote on Proposition 5.
Thank you, and folks can find out more at prop5yes.com.
Very good. Thank you, Margaret.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
2 weeks left. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. 2 weeks until we all have to find something else to fight about. Early voting's already underway in some states. There have been accusations about voter suppression, registration fraud, and boy, you better have your ID. And be prepared to take off your shoes and display your toiletries, too. You know, I don't care what reasons they give. There is no excuse for screwing this election up. There is no excuse not to be prepared for the huge turnout. Election officials are always wishing that more people would vote. Well, wish granted. And we've all known for some time this race was going to be the Super Bowl. In fact, we've known since the line started forming last January outside those elementary schools in Iowa. There has been plenty of time to prepare. So, no excuses. No excuses not to have enough poll workers to check ID. No excuses not to have enough regular ballots. No excuses not to have enough provisional ballots. No excuses for broken computers or not enough pens. And as for what to do when in doubt? When in doubt, you let people vote. We're in this big debate about who is, quote, un-American, which was recently defined as being insufficiently in love with America. Well, let's run with that and agree that anybody who turns away a qualified American voter over a clerical error or a computer crash or because the ballots ran out or because there weren't enough poll monitors or because there were long lines cannot possibly love America. You can't love America if you disenfranchise your citizens. Now this.
Poor workplace productivity can adversely affect your bottom line. Studies show that 40% of office internet use is not work-related. So chances are,
you're losing money.
Designed for organizations of all sizes, the Barracuda Web Filter enforces internet usage policies by blocking inappropriate websites and applications.
It also keeps harmful malware from damaging your network.
What goes on in your business is your business. So get to work. Try a Barracuda Web Filter free for 30 days by contacting Barracuda Networks at 888-ANTI-SPAM.
Or visit Barracuda.com.
Be sure to ask about our competitive upgrade program.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Just 1 week remains till our presidential election. What are the odds they're going to try to steal it from Obama? And would they start in Ohio? This time we check in with Jason Leopold, the intrepid investigative reporter. He worked for Dow Jones, the LA Times, truthout.org, and now he is the founder of the nonprofit journalism site, The Public Record. They're on the web at pubrecord.org, and he publishes, well, more often than almost anybody I know. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Peter. How are you? Good to be with you.
It's good to have you with us, and we got some catching up to do.
Yeah.
I want to talk about your reporting on the election fraud watch in Ohio.
It's unbelievable what is what's actually happening right now. I mean, you know, just as you were talking about it, you know, in past shows, as you know, the Republicans are challenging the veracity of about 200,000 voter registration forms, saying that the these newly registered voters have on their forms don't match up with government, you know, the information on government databases.
Yeah, it has to be an exact match.
Mm-hmm. And they're saying if it's not an exact match, well, that's clear cut case of what they refer to as voter fraud. They don't even call it voter registration fraud. They basically say that you know, you're guilty. In essence, before, you know, proven innocent, there's no such thing as a, you know, as a mistake, an error, an oversight. You know, if you're off by a digit, you know, you're acting with malice.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, obviously, you know, those 200,000 voter registration forms are the ones in question. Are really crucial in a state like Ohio, which is a you know, a battleground state. And as you know, the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, first of all, I should say that the, you know, the Ohio Republican Party sued the Secretary of State, saying that you know, you need to overhaul the entire computer system that Ken Blackwell, her predecessor, had put into place. That is being blamed for, you know, some of these discrepancies. When it comes down to it, basically they were hoping to purge, you know, these questionable or the voter registration forms, the ones that did not match up with the government databases.
Well, I see kind of a hierarchical approach there, Jason,
yeah.
Where they say that forcing a valid voter on a provisional ballot is good for us. Forcing provisional ballots into the can, and maybe they'll never get counted.
Well, that's exactly it.
Even
yeah.
Better. And if we can intimidate people from voting altogether, then that's win, place, and show.
Exactly. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. It's, you know, you don't, it's very clear. I mean, in fact, I have to say that it's amazing that, you know, that there are actually, you know, people out there that, that don't see it for what it is, which is, you know, voter suppression, voter intimidation, you know, the provisional ballots. They know that they're not going to get counted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are they're expecting more than 1.4 million absentee ballots to be sent in that state. That's what Secretary of State Jennifer Brunner said yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so they're already starting to really go through some of those absentee ballots and, you know, some of those are being purged. But where this story really, really gets, you know, crazy, if for lack of a better word, is that, you know, the U.S. Supreme, the Ohio Republican Party sued And basically, they, you know, their case was that Secretary of State Jennifer Brunner, the Ohio Secretary of State, is not, you know, abiding by the Help America Vote Act, or a provision in the Help America Vote Act passed in 2002, you know, basically ensuring the eligibility of voters. The GOP party sued they sued in state court. It made its way up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court dismissed it. You know, dismissed it sort of on a technicality by basically saying that, you know, this private entity didn't have the right to, you know, sue to try and enforce a federal law. But it didn't stop there. You know, John Boehner, the Republican from Ohio, congressman, wrote to Attorney General Michael Mukasey last week, said, I need you to weigh in on this. You know, the Justice Department needs to get involved. He didn't get a response from Mukasey, so he wrote to Bush. And on Friday, and Peter, this is unbelievable, Bush told Mukasey to investigate, to launch a probe, mm-hmm. to possibly, you know, determine whether these people that are, you know, their voter registration forms are being called into question should get a provisional ballot. Now, what makes this even more outrageous, what makes it smack more partisan politics than anything, is that the Justice Department has guidelines that, you know, says you should not get involved in any election type investigation, probe, or anything prior to an election, especially this close to an election,
right,
for fear of more or less, you know, causing a, you know, either people not to come out or influencing the outcome of
politicizing.
Politicizing. And as you know, this is exactly what happened back in 2006 when several U.S. attorneys were fired.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that George Bush is getting involved, weighed in on it, is truly unprecedented. And this should, I mean, this should make people should be outraged. I'm almost at a loss for words because it is such a blatant, you know, attempt to try and intimidate, steal, suppress the, you know, voter turnout.
And Jason, this occurs as the right wing is carefully orchestrating the whole campaign against Acorn and its voter registration drive. And that is, Media Matters told me a week ago that in a six-day period, Acorn got mentioned over 650 times on the Fox News channel. So it's been a very steady theme.
Right.
And they're trying to paint the picture that these problems in voter registration that Acorn itself revealed to the election boards that it submitted the forms to, that this represents, as McCain himself said in the third debate, this huge threat to the American electoral process.
Right.
Well, it's 180 degrees opposite that. Anybody who registered as Mickey Mouse or Roger Maris or, you know, anybody like that, that's not a valid vote that's ever going to be cast.
Exactly.
It's bogus, and it will be thrown out before anybody even attempting a fraudulent second vote would show up at the polls and try to do that.
You know,
so it's a non-existent threat that they've built into a huge boogeyman because Acorn is linked to African Americans.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, Acorn flagged these forms.
Mm-hmm.
They already, you know, raised the red flag for for state officials, state election officials. They already did that. You know, there was nothing, you know, that was that they tried to do that was underhanded, in a sense. You know, and what's amazing is that you mention Acorn has become, you know, part of the lexicon now, that if you mention it just to the average person, you know, they think that it's this corrupt. They don't really know what the organization does, but from what they've heard, they're corrupt. You know,
and they're black.
Right. You know,
that's supposed to be real scary, and it's supposed to link to Obama. I mean, it's part of the whole smear campaign that the Republicans have been orchestrating to some success, I have to concede.
Certainly successful in terms of their, you know, strategy of, you know, spreading disinformation. They've been enormously successful on that front. The fact that it's gotten to this level that in a state where, a state such as Ohio, that you have now George Bush weighing in is scary. And people should be frightened because, first of all, the fact that the federal government, the president of the United States is getting involved in something like this is, like I said, it's unprecedented. And it really does, I hope the people that, and I'm specifically talking, Peter, about, so-called progressives who for years refused to listen to, people like Brad Friedman, election integrity experts talking about, how, the election was stolen, whether it was 2004, all the issues, all the things that have come up in the past, 6 years, however long it's been. Mm-hmm. And we have now clear-cut evidence that voter suppression tactics by the GOP, have been taking place. And I specifically call out those, like I said, those so-called progressives who, looked at this as conspiracy theory and refused to, weigh in on it.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, that goes for many, people in, Congress. One thing other than, the Democrats in Ohio, the members of Congress and Sherrod Brown,
mm-hmm.
Nancy Pelosi hasn't said anything. John Conyers hasn't said anything. I mean, and I'm talking specifically about Bush's request to Mukasey.
Right.
This is truly outrageous. And I think that, the time has come where, people need to, really pay close attention to this.
Well, and I give credit to Rachel Maddow. In my listening to her radio program,
yeah.
I don't feel that she's hit election integrity issues hard enough. That's my general comment. But on her television show on MSNBC last week, she gave a lengthy segment to Robert F. Kennedy Jr.,
yeah.
who enumerated many of these issues. And Monday night, she drilled Howard Dean a little bit on these issues
yeah.
and said,
yeah.
It seems to me that you don't really want to acknowledge this because you think it might discourage people from voting.
Right.
And that is a sentiment, Jason, that I've heard from progressive Democratic members of the House who say, don't keep pushing
right.
that. You're going to discourage people from voting. And I say, Congresswoman, wait a minute.
Right. Exactly.
We've already got reasons that people
yeah.
are discouraged from voting, and they're called 2000 and 2004.
Right. And exactly. And it's just, it's remarkable that it's sort of like, ignoring the elephant in the room. And that really, that's really what it is at this point.
Mm-hmm.
The 800-pound gorilla, whatever cliche you want to use. And, just seeing how in the past month, perhaps even, a bit longer, how the GOP, that machine, how the Republican machine has been able to, get this, convince people that an organization that registers low-income minority people to vote is, can possibly threaten the very fabric of our democracy, as John McCain said, is just outlandish. And in addition to that, I fault those members of Congress for not taking this issue seriously in the months and years, prior to next week's election.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is shameful, and they've all got their fingers crossed. But I said this last week with a guest named Dave Berman, who is an election activist who
yeah.
has come forward with a line of reasoning saying, there's no rational reason to have confidence in the outcome of this election. Even if we get the desired result, more Democrats in the House, 60 votes in the Senate, and
right.
an Obama in the White House, we still can't say that we have confidence in the system and that it produced an honest and reliable result.
Right, and what's interesting is what I heard, or what I've been hearing people say, is that if Obama, if he wins with a, if there's a landslide, then it's okay, because mm-hmm. as long as he has a huge number of votes or wins the number of electoral votes, that just, even if they did try to steal, or even if they did steal, or purge voters from voter rolls, that no matter what they did, it just McCain couldn't catch up, then that's okay. But again, the question is that was it a fair, an honest election? And that doesn't seem to really, register at this point.
Jason Leopold with us. Read his work at the website of the Public Record, pubrecord.org. That's pubrecord.org. We'll continue in just a moment. My lines are open if you'd like to talk with us at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll have a celebration of the Ted Stevens conviction. Melanie Sloan joins us right after the top of the hour news next hour here on the PBC show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now on LSL Road at a Hartnell Road, we have a traffic collision. An ambulance is responding. A CHP unit is also responding. Moving on to Elkhorn Road at Walker Valley Road, we have a traffic collision with no injuries. A power pole has been hit, a tow truck is on the way, and CHP is on the scene there. And weather, today your forecast is mostly sunny. Highs are in the 60s to lower 70s. Tonight is mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Look for patchy fog after midnight. Lows in the lower 50s, north winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunset is at 6:14 tonight. And that's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm Kevin McGibbon, and I'm running for Cabrillo College Trustee. Cabrillo College is a great part of our Mid-County community. It's a launching pad for university education, and Cabrillo offers needed trade education to support local business, all the while giving its students a chance to afford our cost of living. Over time, as our local economic base grows and changes, Cabrillo becomes that much more important to prepare students for the job market, as well as to local businesses that need new talent. I, Kevin McGibbon, pledge to push Cabrillo's establishment as an innovation center, as a way to source new revenue, attract students, new business, and to take advantage of new facilities that taxpayers have so graciously funded for so long. I'll provide leadership to expand access to a Cabrillo education to underserved students in Santa Cruz County. And I'll challenge Cabrillo to be the first carbon-neutral community college in California. Embracing a green approach will cut costs, generate opportunities for educational programs, and uncover new revenue sources. Let's make Cabrillo even better. Vote for me, Kevin McGibbon, for Cabrillo Trustee.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting Sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, open systems architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. Our music of the moment by a band called The Call. It came out of Santa Cruz in the 1980s. Lead singer is Michael Bean, bass player. And he also had a role, he was one of the apostles in The Last Temptation of Christ, I think.
I've been in a cave for 40 days, only a spark. To light my way, I want to give out
We continue with Jason Leopold from the Public Record, and we're joined by Emily in Santa Cruz. Hello, Emily. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Jason. I wanted to pick up on something that Jason said right before the break about that even if Obama were to win with a landslide, or maybe Peter, you said it, that we still wouldn't know that we had had an accurate vote count.
Yeah.
And that's true. And it's also true that even if Obama were to win with a landslide, it doesn't mean that congressional elections haven't been manipulated.
Right.
And I want to really remind people that that's a possibility, because I think it's going to be difficult. I work with Velvet Revolution, as you know, and with mm-hmm. Brad Friedman at Brad Blog, and I think it's going to be difficult for those of us working on election integrity to get our voices heard above the celebrations should Obama win.
Yeah.
If it really looks like there has been monkey business with congressional elections.
It's true. It's very hard to get people's attention, even when it affects a presidential candidate. We had New Hampshire, where Obama had a surprising loss to Hillary Clinton. There were substantive issues there about the machines and about the disparities between hand-counted paper ballot precincts and machine-counted. And only Dennis Kucinich raised a ruckus about it, and it was dead within a week or two.
I think one of the things that is going to be a sad sort of turn of events after the election is that, you know, even with the poll numbers right now showing a Democratic sweep, more than 60 seats, you know, for the Democrats, unfortunately, the leadership, they're going to see, or they're going to look at this as, you know, if we win, if we, you know, take control mm-hmm. of both houses and the White House, you know, we don't really need to pay attention to these issues. And it will continue, unfortunately, to go unresolved.
Yeah.
And I think that, this particular campaign and this election is all the more reason why, you know, we need, there needs to be some sort of reform or some sort of, you know, this needs to get into the mainstream more and more. And as you know, Peter, it certainly, you know, whenever we have an election, you know, you'll see some reports, long lines, problems with machines, et cetera, but then it just, you know, sort of disappears.
Yeah. Emily, go ahead.
Well, back to the New Hampshire primary, on primary night, we already knew that there were problems, and we were late at night on the phones trying to get in touch with various campaigns in New Hampshire, and it was difficult to reach people, and we were basically trying to say, there are problems, we need you to know what's going on. And partly as a result of that, we at Velvet Revolution started an effort called Standing for Voters, which I know Brad has talked about.
Yeah.
On your show before, where we're asking candidates, no matter what party they belong to, or if they're nonpartisan candidates, and regardless of what office they're running for, to take an election integrity pledge that's available at standingforvoters.org. And that's basically a pledge for no early concessions and to challenge elections where necessary. And one of the reasons that we're doing this is that candidates who take the pledge establish communications with us so that should there be problems in their election that we find out about, either through Velvet Revolution's election fraud whistleblower hotline or through tips that Brad gets at the Brad blog, that we are able to contact them directly and let them know.
Mm-hmm.
So if your listeners or if you or Jason are concerned about particular elections being manipulated, we really encourage you to ask those candidates running to take the Standing for Voters pledge, and, mm-hmm. and there's information on the site about how voters can make that request of candidates.
All right, Emily, thank you very much. Always
Thanks,
good to
Emily.
Hear from you.
Thanks very much.
Jason, you and Michael Isikoff appear to be the last two reporters interested in Sarah Palin's Troopergate scandal.
Oh, yeah, and, again, it's something that continues. You know, it's as I like to say, it's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
She
had to suspend her campaign for a couple of hours so she could give a deposition last week.
That's right. And, she spent about 2 hours with the independent investigator. What's really amazing about this, this whole scandal is that, you know, she's the one who filed the ethics complaint against herself.
Right. Yeah.
And the personnel board, which, she felt, oh, they'll exonerate me. And that's truly what, her aides had been hoping for, went out and hired an independent investigator. And not only that, they expanded their probe to look into several other complaints, ethics complaints against her. And, you know, he spent 2 hours with her and 2 hours with Todd Palin. And, you know, just from Todd Palin's affidavit in the other one, the one that the legislative council in Alaska had approved, and which Sarah Palin said that she'd cooperate with before she was tapped as McCain's running mate, you know, Todd Palin more or less admitted that, you know, he was obsessed with, you know, getting this trooper, his ex-brother-in-law, fired.
Right.
And, you know, what's really going to hurt, you know, Sarah Palin is that it's looking more and more like, you know, the personnel board investigation is certainly going to find that she, you know, was unethical or violated state.
Read all about it at pubrecord.org. Jason Leopold, thank you.
Peter.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The Bulls came charging back today, giving the Dow the second highest point gain in its history, despite more discouraging economic reports. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason reports.
It was just another surreal day on Wall Street, a day that started with a key measure of consumer confidence hitting an all-time low and ended with a nearly 900-point rally on the Dow, the index breaking back through 9,000. The markets also shrugged off more bad housing numbers, which revealed the average price of a home in the country's 10 biggest cities has fallen nearly 18% over the past year.
But traders were focused on the future. Tomorrow, the Fed's expected to cut interest rates again, and with infusions of cash from the U.S. Treasury, banks are expected to do more lending and get credit flowing again.
After 21 months of a campaign that's taken us from the rocky coasts of Maine to the sunshine of California, we are 1 week away from bringing change to America. 1 week.
Barack Obama at a rally in Harrisonburg, Virginia, after spending much of the day in another battleground state, Pennsylvania. John McCain was there, too.
There's 1 week to go. We're a few points down. The pundits wrote us off, as they have several times before. My opponent is out working out the details with Speaker Pelosi and Senator Reid on their plans raise your taxes.
That was in Hershey, where he campaigned with running mate Sarah Palin. Joe Wurzelbacher, made famous by McCain as Joe the Plumber, is now campaigning for the Republican ticket in his home state of Ohio. The Christian Science Monitor is taking the paper out of newspaper. Faced with high printing and distribution costs and declining circulation, the Monitor has decided to abandon paper and ink in favor of computer screens.
Our reach online is already vastly greater than our reach in print.
Editor Joe Yema.
All of the problems of print are really becoming worse and worse in this environment. And, you know, that's not just happening right now. That's been happening for a number of years.
The Monitor was one of the first newspapers in the country to put content online, starting in 1995. With one in four students dropping out of high school, CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports there's
a new push to push up graduation rates. Federal rules that would require schools to track dropouts and set graduation targets for minority and disabled students.
Something that has been sorely lacking for far too long.
Says Daria Hall at the Education Trust, among the criticisms, that this is another federal mandate not supported by adequate funding, that major education policy changes should be left to the next president. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Tech stocks benefited from today's rally. The Nasdaq up 143 points, and the price of oil is below $63 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Referrals. Simple word, right? To a small business, referrals are solid gold. So how do you stir them up? Email marketing from ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get easy-to-use templates to showcase your business with photos and coupons. And best of all, it's easy for your customers to pass them along to others. In other words, help you generate the almighty referral. Plans as low as $15 a month. Get your free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com. And let the referrals begin.
Smart is as smart invests. That's why the smart money is now in CDs, and there's no smarter CD than the one from GMAC Bank. Now get a 12-month CD at a 4.36 annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available. Show off your CD smarts. Grow your money while protecting it from market fluctuations. Go to GMACBank.com or call 1-866-246-BANK. Open a CD with as little as $500 and start reaping the benefits. GMAC Bank. Smart, simple, safe. Member FDIC.
We're into that time of year when our sealed-up, heated homes become petri dishes, and it's almost impossible to avoid getting a cold. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick has the latest findings.
Researchers went to the homes of people suffering from colds and tested things. They found germs on all sorts of surfaces: TV remotes, refrigerator door handles, salt and pepper shakers, telephones, and light switches. Scientists are unable to prove with certainty that infected items will give you a cold, but they are likely to increase your risk. And washing your hands frequently is still your best bet to avoid getting sick. Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Tokyo might want to stockpile portisans. In a simulation, Japan's Emergency Preparedness Agency found that if a magnitude 7.3 earthquake struck Tokyo at noon on a workday, the city would face a critical shortage of working toilets. The simulation calculated that some people might have to wait 17 hours, which would produce an earthquake of a different sort. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Today, let's talk about commuting. You think yours is tough? Fact is, our cars and trucks just gotta take it. That's why right now there's Good Wrench and Go time to help your Chevy continue to take it. Just go back to your participating Chevy dealer and head down their Good Wrench service lane for an oil change, tire rotation, and a Good Wrench multi-point vehicle inspection. And while you're there, have them check your tires. Should you need them, they can recommend the proper tires for your Chevy. Good Wrench and Go. We're keeping it simple. Offer ends November 30th.
From their own 21.
When it comes to football, some search engines get you lost in all the links, but not Yahoo Search. To prove it, we switched Steve's Google page with Yahoo.
Got it, 50.
And cut his cable.
Well, where's the game?
Oh, you can still get your football fix. Type a player's name into Yahoo Search.
Okay. Beautiful stats, news, game logs, all right there. Even fantasy rankings.
You need to trade that bum.
You think?
Switch to Yahoo Search and get straight to your answers. Start now at yahoo.com.
Yahoo!
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Celebrating the conviction of Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska with some music from his little brother.
He's free as the breeze, he's always at ease. He lives in the jungle and hangs by his knees as he swings through the trees without a trapeze in his BBD. He's got a union card and he's practicing hard to play the guitar. Gonna be a big star, yeah, he's gonna go far and carry moonbeams home in a jar. He ordered chips, guitar core, COD, makes A and E, and he's working on B. Digs C and W and R and B, and me and a chimpanzee agree that one day soon he'll be a celebrity.
Wow.
Get it, get it, get it, get it out! Guitar man! He's a guitar man!
Yes, and all the ink and pixels that have been spilled over Ted Stevens, nobody's pointed out his brother Ray Stevens. With all these great novelty songs in the early 60s. And perhaps the reason is that I don't think Ray Stevens and Ted Stevens are actually related. But it was fun for a moment, and Melanie Sloan joins us. She's always in possession of the facts. She was there for the final arguments in the Stevens trial last week, and she is the executive director of CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And Melanie, when you heard the verdict, what was your first reaction?
I was so relieved. It was touch and go there for a while, and in addition to the problems in the prosecutor's case that we had a couple of weeks ago, there were some pretty substantial jury issues over the past few days. One juror had refused to deliberate late last week, and the rest of the jurors had asked that that juror be taken off the case.
And wasn't that juror described as violently verbal or verbally violent?
Yes, verbally violent, but the judge had found that there was no actual physical violence and that he didn't think it was a huge problem. And apparently that juror, somehow they all worked that out, because then there was another jury problem, which is that a juror's father died, and then that juror just left and then lost touch with the court, which is a pretty striking thing, by the way, for a juror to do. It's one thing for you to have a parent die, and that's terrible, and it's okay to leave, but you do have to keep the court informed. Mm-hmm. And this juror just disappeared, and so they had to bring in an alternate. And when you bring in an alternate, it means you have to start deliberations from the beginning. You don't just pick up where you left off. You start all over.
But once they did that, the verdicts were reached very swiftly. What, about 4 hours of deliberation?
Right, exactly. Very quickly. So they brought in the alternate, and the previously violent juror who was refusing to deliberate, I guess, decided that she or he wanted the whole thing to be over, too. And they reached a unanimous verdict on all counts, not even what we call a split verdict, which mm-hmm. often indicates some kind of compromise. They convicted on all seven counts of making false statements on financial disclosure forms. A huge shock for Ted Stevens and a great victory for the American people.
And inside the suites there at CREW, what is the official celebratory method when something like this happens?
Oh, well, you got to do your little victory jig.
I imagine you did a lap around K Street or something.
Right, but it's getting cold here now, so we'll settle for the jig in the office. But it was striking news. But, of course, Mr. Stevens has said he'll appeal, and he does have several issues to appeal on.
Yeah.
There's the issue of the jury. There are problems there, whether they should have deliberated as they did. I think that will have – I don't think there would be any kind of reversal on those grounds. There are issues regarding prosecutorial misconduct mm-hmm. and whether the prosecutors had failed to provide exculpatory evidence that told Ted Stevens' side of the case. And there were instances where the judge had come down pretty hard on the government for failing to turn over evidence. And that's the kind of thing that is a good appellate issue. And mm-hmm. another appellate issue is whether the indictment was obtained in violation of the Constitution's speech or debate clause, something you and I have talked about at length before.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these issues, the main thing to know about that is all those issues are going to go on. An appeal will take well over a year. And because Mr. Stevens is a white-collar defendant, it is likely that the judge will let him out of jail pending appeal. So he's not going to jail anytime soon. But when he is sentenced, I do believe that he'll get between 18 and 34 months, although each crime technically allows for 5 years, and there are seven different counts, making a total of 35 years for the kind of crimes that he committed and his criminal history, which means that he has no previous convictions for anything. 18 to 34 months is the likely sentence.
Mm-hmm. Now, since the prosecutor brought a fairly narrow and lower-level charge, which was a failure to report, as opposed to accusing him of corruption where he delivered a vote or some pork barrel spending for somebody in exchange for remodeling his house or loaning him the electric massage chair worth $3,000. Does that suggest that the judge will look at this as more of an infraction, a traffic ticket, so to speak, and take that into account in sentencing?
Had Mr. Stevens agreed to plead guilty before the trial.
Mm.
But once there has been a trial and you've made the government come to its proof, which is totally your right as a criminal defendant, but you've taken up the resources and the time and energy of everybody, you've gone to trial, and on top of that, not only have you gone to trial, you've committed perjury on the stand when you've said that you didn't own, for example, the chair, that it was just a loan, And you never sat in it, even when they then have an email saying, well, you'd fallen asleep in it and really loved it. That's the kind of thing that doesn't look too good, and a judge will sentence you accordingly. That said, another thing that will come into account here is Ted Stevens' age. He is about either 83 or 84 years old, so all that will be taken into account. But still, there are something called the sentencing guidelines, and these are put out by the federal government, and they say what any given defendant should get for a particular crime, what the range should be. And for somebody with Mr. Stevens' background and the kind of crimes he's committed, that range is 18 to 34 months. Some of it may be served in a halfway house, but I don't see any way for Mr. Stevens not to serve any jail time should his conviction be upheld.
Well, in a halfway house, does the double Muskie Inn qualify for that?
It does not qualify. And I'll tell you, I haven't been in some halfway houses here in Washington, D.C. They're not really nice places.
Yeah.
And Mr. Stevens is clearly not going to be serving at the worst kind of federal prison. He's not going to be, you know, in solitary confinement or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But by the same token, he is going to go to jail. And at his age and all that, and moving from being a senator to jail time, that is a pretty substantial change in life circumstances.
Yeah. And as somebody who has advocated on behalf of people who truly are innocent but get convicted, it is offensive to hear him declaring that he is innocent. He's certainly entitled to appeal this and to run for re-election to the United States Senate. But it's pretty insulting for him to declare that he is innocent and he's been railroaded in this case.
Right. Well, railroaded, you know, you are hardly railroaded when you have the probably one of the five best criminal defense lawyers in the country arguing on your behalf, somebody who's paid, you know, well over $1,000 an hour, and to say when he's had a trial in a court of law with a jury of him, you know, with a jury, that is hardly counts as being railroaded. And Mr. Stevens obviously doesn't want to take responsibility for his crimes, and that, too, will come up at sentencing, his failure to take responsibility. And I think the judge will not look that smilingly on Mr. Mm-hmm. Stevens because, look, frankly, just what Mr. Stevens said at his trial just didn't make sense. The rest of us all know that the furniture in our house is ours, and certainly not when you've had it for seven and more years. Can you really declare it as just something you have on loan? And it's that kind of thing that I think led to Mr. Stevens' conviction. I think his major mistake in this case was testifying on his own behalf.
Well, and as I survey the junk furniture surrounding me, anybody who wants to come and pick it up, please. You'll be doing me a big favor. Now, Melanie, I referenced the Double Muskie Inn, and it came to light in news accounts just in the last week or so because Ted Stevens got a huge amount of money, federal money, to build a highway in Girdwood, Alaska, that's less than a mile long, to his favorite restaurant. I think it runs from his home to the restaurant. And at one point, local officials got the money, and they said, well, we don't want to pave that road. We've got higher priorities. And so they turned to Bob Persons, a close friend of Stevens, who then advised them on what to do. This really seems cronied up and bizarre insider dealing.
It does. You know, another new fact in the Stevens saga, and it looks very bad. It looks like Mr. Stevens was, in fact, directing money to go help his friend out, Bob Persons, and put a new road there.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see if that attracts the interest of investigators down the road, so to speak. Now, one of the other issues coming out of Alaska is who paid for the fancy clothes and the shopping sprees for vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin. And I understand Crew has filed a complaint with the Federal Election Commission about this.
That's right, we did, because Sarah Palin didn't spend $150,000 on her own clothes. The Republican National Committee did. And there is a ban on campaign committee funds being converted to personal use. And FEC regulations specifically say you're not allowed to use them for clothes. And yet what did they do? The RNC went out and spent $150,000 on clothes for Sarah Palin and her family. I find so interesting for the hockey mom.
Yeah.
The hockey mom who is now dressed in Prada and Armani and Versace, those are and Valentino, not usually the clothes of the self-described hockey moms.
Right, yeah.
But in any event, it's also illegal, and so Sarah Palin and the committee have now, and the McCain campaign have said, well, they're going to donate those clothes to charity, and that's what they were always going to do. Well, the reason that they've come up with this, we're donating the clothes to charity, is because there is an exception in the law that says if you donate something to charity, it's per se not for your personal use. But that's clearly an explanation they came up with after the fact, and now they will, of course, have to actually donate those clothes to charity, something they probably weren't planning on before. And in any event, the clothes that they purchased for Ms. Palin's family, there's no exception allowing for that. So they were never permitted to buy clothes for her family, and yet they did. A campaign finance violation, very ironic, from the McCain campaign. And after all, McCain is known, in fact, for campaign finance law.
And wouldn't these clothing purchases be perceived as either a gift or income to Sarah Palin and her family? And isn't it taxable on that basis, even before you try to donate it and write it off?
It is. There has been some dispute among the tax lawyers who blog on these things, and amazingly, there is a group of them. But it does seem like they may indeed be taxable income to Sarah Palin, whether or not she gives them away. And that's a pretty big income to her when her salary is less than what those clothes cost.
Well, and we're going to have to follow this to see who they donate the clothing to. It's probably that same mythical charity that Dick Cheney's donating his Halliburton stock options to, right?
That's right. It will be very interesting to see who they donate them to and what kind of tax deduction people look for that, and who's looking for the tax deduction for donating the clothes.
And just to set the record straight, when I see you on Hardball in that beautiful burnt orange powered blazer, you bought that?
Who doesn't buy them for me?
You bought that yourself?
I bought that myself. But clearly, you know, I am not smart about these things. I really need to take a page out of the Republicans' playbook, and I should be buying my clothes with crew money. Although some of my donors might not look so favorably on that.
I understand. Melanie, thank you very much, and congratulations on the Stevens verdict.
Thank you.
All right. That's Melanie Sloan at Crew. We take a break and return to your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone. I've got lines open right now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8383-72. Any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Give me a call. We'll chat.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Got to have it.
I'm Todd Hornick, your local candidate for Monterey County Judge. When you cast your ballot, I'd like you to consider the following. I'm the only candidate who has actually worked in the Monterey County Courts, and I have devoted the last 14 years of my professional career to the service of this community. I have earned near universal law enforcement support, from firefighters to court clerks to the Herald, Californian, and Weekly endorsements, all of which are firmly based on my local experience and knowledge. I promise to earn your respect every day as your newest Superior Court judge and humbly ask for your vote. ToddHornickForJudge.com.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Taking a look at our Central Coast traffic this afternoon, on Highway 129 just east of Old Chittenden Road in Santa Cruz, we have a two-vehicle collision. We have no further details. Just be careful around there. A CHP unit is on the way. Now in weather, your forecast for tonight is mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Look for patchy fog after midnight. Lows are in the lower 50s. North winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunset is at 6:14 tonight. Here are some temperatures. Right now, Monterey is 56 degrees, Salinas is 60 degrees, Santa Cruz is 65, and Gilroy is 65. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great afternoon. The Peter B. Cullen Show will be right back.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered together here around the radio today, 1 week before the presidential election. And the smears and slime are flying globally right now. I am invoking the start of a new process here called Expose the Slime. Because the Republicans are saying, let's go crazy, we're desperate, let's throw everything at the wall and see what sticks. We got to be vigilant, and we have to help our fellow citizens who are not as strong as we are and not as well informed to weather the slime storm that is underway. So example A here just came in my email in the last hour, and the subject line reads, Obama's Reverend Wright, colon, his lifetime achievement recipient calls Hitler a great man. Now, this is McCarthy guilt by association. But it's so stretched and strained, it is bizarre. They're trying to connect Reverend Wright to Louis Farrakhan to Elijah Muhammad, who called Hitler a great man. Now, Obama's never met Farrakhan or Elijah Muhammad, who I believe is no longer among the living. And so there are a series of slime quotes linked to various videos at UK YouTube. And when I scroll down to the bottom of this email from Sarah Weinberg, there's a disclosure at the bottom that says that it was sent from an address in Athens, Greece. Why? Why not Athens, Georgia? Athens, Ohio? I mean, there are a lot of places that this crap could come from, and it should be made by and for American consumption. So I want to invite you, if you've received a scurrilous email, a robocall, or any other form of political speech like a direct mail piece, I'd like you to call in, explain what it's about, and see if we can figure out where it came from and who's responsible. You want to play along? 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can call about anything else, too. But this is something I'm focused on today, and if you would like to describe some slime that you've received, your reaction to it, and help us figure out where it came from, we can have some fun with that. 888-573-8372. Up first in the free speech zone, Steve in Watsonville. Hi, Steve.
Thanks, Peter. I have a thought on that, but what I called about was regarding what Melanie was talking about, Stevens claiming that he was railroaded.
Right.
would the prosecution, the federal prosecution, have been conducted out of Seattle or Portland on that case?
Washington, D.C.
It was from Washington, D.C., because that's interesting. So
the reason is that it would have been done
because he's a senator.
Well, the issue at question here was his federal disclosure form, which is filed with somebody in the Capitol, I guess the Senate Ethics Committee.
Okay.
So that's the reason that
the groundwork on the prosecution would have been done in the local federal office, right?
Right. And Bill Allen, the chief complaining witness, wore a wire and, you know, was flipped. So, yes, the investigation did take place in Alaska.
Okay. What I'm questioning is like when Bush had his purge of the federal attorneys.
Yeah.
Was the attorney responsible for the Anchorage area one of those that was purged?
Good question. I don't actually know the answer.
Okay.
I would say not to my knowledge.
But about the Muslim issue or the Farrakhan Elijah Muhammad issue.
Yeah.
It seems to me they're playing on the Americans' conditioned, you know, mentality, which is conditioned by the media. They hear Muslim and they think black Muslim.
Right.
Oh, black Muslims are coming to get me.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And it's just it's not working for them.
It isn't working.
It's simply not working for them. They try it and it's not going to work.
And it's all they got, and they're going to keep doing it for another week. Steve, thank you very much.
Amen.
888-5 Peter B. It's your free speech zone. Call me and use it.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, Marina voters. I'm Bruce Delgado, and I'm asking for your vote to be your next mayor of Marina. I was on city council from 2000 to 2004, and when I ran for mayor in 2004, I barely lost by 69 votes. With your support, we can win this time and finally have a mayor that lives and breathes working class values. My opponent goes on cruises with developers and big business interests who have financial involvement with large four-door developments, and this is too cozy to ensure citizens like you that your priorities come first during city negotiations with big business. Good-paying jobs, affordable housing, and downtown revitalization will help working-class families and seniors on fixed incomes. This is why labor unions are endorsing me and why Jane Parker, supervisor-elect for the 4th District, supports me and Marina's campaign for change. I ask for your vote by mail or on November 4th. Let's do this together. Thank you. I'm Bruce Delgado, and I approve this message.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire cornucopia landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1000. 335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Republicans are counting on a little amnesia among the rest of us here in election season. They want us to forget what happened in 2004 and in 2006, as Jason Leopold told us about an hour ago. The way the Republicans sent signals to their appointed U.S. attorneys to file voter fraud charges just before the election, and of course they were to be aimed against Democrats. Well, that's the kind of smokescreen that they're trying to create again this year. And to some extent, it's working. Voters are being purged from the rolls. Some are being intimidated to prevent them from going to the polls in the first place. And what we're seeing is that in the early voting that's taking place, it's more than 3-1 in favor of Obama. Now, we can't expect that that's a trend that replicates the whole pattern for the nation as it goes to the polls in waves. Most people will vote on Tuesday, November 4th, but some people vote absentee, some people vote the weekend before, and so we do have a wave of activity that's underway, but the early edge of that wave is very promising to Obama. The other thing that is really critical here is exit polls, and we're working on a segment for later this week about an effort to mount citizen exit polls across the country. But one of the things we really need is to have honest exit polling that is captured in real time on election day and not erased or obscured after the fact. Because we really need to understand the dimensions of the popular vote on election day and then compare that with the published results. Exit polls really represent the most valid way of checking public opinion and comparing it to voter activity. Some percentage of voters won't be honest when they're coming out of the polls and you ask them who they voted for. But by and large, people are. And I think that that is one of the critical things that we need to be focused on in the next week or so. 888-5 Peter B. My lines are open for you in the free speech zone. No takers on Expose the Slime, but I'll continue anyway. I got another email from this same account, Sarah Weinberg. It's a Gmail account. And at the bottom it says that it was sent from Athens, Greece. And this doesn't offer the racial smear that we heard in the one that mentions Louis Farrakhan and Elijah Muhammad. This one asks, which party's new tax policies are assisted suicide for U.S. economy and the U.S.? Which party caused our economic crisis? And let's scroll down here. Terrorist group Hamas supports which candidate? Now, each of these questions is linked to a YouTube video But these are YouTube Canada and YouTube UK. And so, well, let's just for fun, let's click on this YouTube that says terrorist group Hamas supports which candidate? And of course, it's going to be a stunning surprise here. You just know that. All right, I'm clicking on the link. I'm going to YouTube in the UK, and it wants me to set my country preference. Okay. Now we have Muammar Gaddafi quoted as saying Obama is a Muslim. This is Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi. The translation says it's been proven there's no democracy in the U.S. Rather, it is a dictatorship no different than Hitler or Napoleon. Genghis Khan, the rest of the tyrants. In the days of crazy Reagan, the American president issued a presidential order to launch a war against Libya, for example. A presidential order to besiege Libya. Well, my patience has elapsed. This clip runs 7 minutes, and I'm not going to force you to sit through it, and I'm not going to sit through it. But this is a claim from a dubious source, Muammar Gaddafi, that Obama is a Muslim and that foreign people have made donations to the Obama campaign. So this is a smear that's originating in Greece using videos that are posted in the United Kingdom. An international effort. Isn't that special, wouldn't you say? All right, Free Speech Zone, we go to Fred in Marina. Welcome, Fred. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yes, I have a question. That question is, why is this Proposition 8, why are they calling the union of man and a woman and a man as marriage? I don't see it as marriage because, and then they're saying it's discrimination. I see it as discrimination against the institution of marriage that's between man and woman.
So I'm not clear, Fred. Are you in favor of Proposition 8?
Yes, I'm in favor of it.
Uh-huh. And why?
Because of that reason.
Okay.
It's not marriage.
Are you married? Fred, are you married?
I'm widowed.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I was married 21 years. My wife died about 3 years ago.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Now, let me ask you, why do you care if two guys or two women want to enjoy the benefits of marriage that you enjoyed for 21 years?
Oh, it's not right. It's not right.
It's not right according to whom, Fred?
In the sense of marriage.
Fred, it's not right according to whom?
But, you know, of a phony marriage agreement.
Well, but see, marriage is a secular contract, Fred. Marriage is governed by the state of California. And you have the right to marry a woman. You also currently have the right to marry a man if you want to. Why is that something that you want to prevent from happening? Why do you want to impose your view of marriage on homosexual couples, for example?
I guess it comes from the biblical union as far as...
Well, Fred, with all due respect to the Bible, we don't govern the state of California by the Bible.
Well, that's tough because that's all I want to say. I can't vote for this amendment. I don't agree with this amendment.
Now, Fred, let me ask you this: do you believe in civil rights for all California citizens?
But I just said that I don't think that's the issue here. The issue is what is happening is I just don't see that as being marriage. That's the only thing.
All right, and so you're going to vote in favor of Proposition 8 to deny other people the right to commit to one another for a lifetime.
Because I think it's wrong. I don't think it's right.
Uh-huh.
So basically, I've got to run, but I just wanted to touch base with someone about this.
Okay.
I know that, like I said, the state...
Fred, can I just...
in charge of...
Can I just tell you honestly, I flatly disagree with you.
Okay, well...
Because I believe that you're attempting to impose your moral code on other people. And that's not a secular value. And we are a secular state here in California. This is not a Christian state.
That's all I have to say. I rest my case. I hear what you're saying, though.
Uh-huh.
I just have to wait and see what I'm going to do on the 8th, on the 4th.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Well, I ask you to think hard about it, Fred, and think about what I'm talking about, which is a civil rights issue, and the idea that you should not be imposing your moral code on me or anyone else.
Right. Okay.
All right?
All right.
Thank you, Fred. I appreciate that. Bye. Now to Harvey in Berkeley, our personal alternative energy consultant. Hi, Harvey.
Hi, Peter B. How are you doing?
I'm okay today.
Well, I just want to say no on Proposition 10, and I want to tell you and your audience, your wonderful audience, why.
You don't want to give T. Boone Pickens a bailout?
That's why. He's the major funder with $19 million. Now, if you really want to find out who T. Boone Pickens is, go to Google, put in the word T. Boone Pickens' name, then a couple spaces, then the word water rights, mm-hmm. W-A-T-R-R-I-G-H-T-S, water rights,
all right.
And then another couple spaces, put in the word Texas. And this is what he did. I read it, and I can give you a synopsis on this, fast little synopsis. Water rights in the panhandle area of Texas were all, it's like a public domain thing, and any changes were, you know, it would have to be a public vote. Well, he gave the politicians, he funded them, their parties, some money, and a lot of money, and they changed the law so that private individuals could have domain over the water. And then he created an organization of five people who are dependent on him for their livelihood,
mm-hmm.
and he created this little group. And they took over the public domain of this water, and then he went to the politicians and he asked them to change another law, which was that he could run a pipeline over anybody's land. And so they changed that law, and now he can run a pipeline from the panhandle up to the cities, and along those lines he's putting up wind towers to power the pipeline that's going to pull the water out of the aquifers. Well, all the farmers in the panhandle are going crazy because suddenly he's pumping out millions of gallons. And he's doing it, and he essentially spent $1.2 million to give mostly the Republicans money, and they changed the laws for him. So now he's coming to California, and I say, bend over, California. Here comes T. Boone Pickens.
Now, Harvey, one point you raised is interesting because I didn't know about this water rights grab.
Yeah.
And the pipeline and the wind power to man the pumps. What is interesting is that in the Pickens plan, where he proposes this new generation of transitional natural gas-powered vehicles, and he wants California taxpayers to pick up the tab for corporate purchase of these natural gas-fired vehicles. In the Pickens plan, which calls for vast expansion of wind farming, which I favor, he also calls on suspension of the laws of eminent domain to permit them to, on an emergency basis, install new power lines on private property.
That's right. That's what he does. And what he does is he corrupts the politicians. He donates heavily to the parties. He essentially buys his political favors. And then he changes the law, but in such a scammy way. Like if you go to, like I told you, T. Boone Pickens water rights in Texas. If you
yeah,
go
I pulled
to the,
it up.
If you go to the second page, that's where most of the stuff is. And there's one called Watch Your Assets, ASSETS. Open that one up and read everything I said to you is there. And this guy is the most dangerous guy. He's going to pollute California. He's going to burn more natural gas, which is a greenhouse gas pollution. He's going to put in the pipelines, which are the varicose veins of the earth, and these huge ships, these liquid natrified gas ships. That's like, you know, we've already had a September 11th. You know, I wouldn't want any of those ships parked near me. I'll tell you, that would be like unbelievable destruction. So, no. This guy is...
Oh, we were thinking of rebuilding the Berkeley Pier for an LNG station there.
Well, you know, this would thwart the whole solar energy thing. California is rich in sunshine. It's safe. Solar panels to sit there and make electricity all day, and so we don't need this guy. He's gonna take advantage of us. So, like I say, vote no on Prop 10 and read about T. Boone Pickens. He's the scam artist of the century.
All right, you got it right, Harvey. Thanks for your call. Thanks for the alarm.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And once again, my brief encounter with T. Boone Pickens a few weeks back.
Okay.
Mr. Pickens.
Yes, Peter.
How do you do, sir?
Good.
Let's roll here.
Okay, call me Boone.
No.
Okay.
We'll take a break and return. Your calls are welcome in the free speech zone. I've got a line available for you right now. 888-5-PETER-B. You can also email me, peter@peterbcollins.com.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good evening, this is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now in King City at County Road G14 at Oasis Road, we have a traffic hazard. There are boxes in the roadway between both directions. CHP is on the way. Moving up to Santa Cruz on Highway 129 just east of Chittenden Road, CHP is on the scene. The latest in weather. Right now in Carmel Valley, it's 58 degrees. Monterey is 57 degrees. Salinas is 58 degrees. Moss Landing is 60 degrees. Santa Cruz is 60 degrees. And Hollister is 58. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great evening and a safe commute. Keep it tuned to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Sun Street Centers has an outpatient recovery program designed for men and women with alcohol or drug issues referred by the court system. Clients are provided with group and one-on-one sessions that focus on living life alcohol and drug-free, relapse prevention, parenting skills, and anger management. Sun Street also addresses family issues, conflict resolution, and introduces the 12-step program. Clients can choose either 2 or 3 days a week or evenings with sites in Salinas and Marina. Go to sunstreetcenters.com to sign up. Don't wait. sunstreetcenters.com.
As a boy, I worked the fields to help make ends meet, so I know firsthand how a slow economy hurts families who can't pay the bills.
Senator Abel Maldonado.
That's why I'm working to bring jobs to California and keep costs down on working people. It's why I'm fighting to reduce reliance on foreign oil by working to expand usage of solar power and renewable energy. And why I fought special interest to provide increased access to prescription drugs.
Senator Maldonado earned a 95% rating from the California Chamber of Commerce for his efforts to improve the economy. Americans for Tax Reform honored Abel as a hero of the taxpayer.
Government has failed taxpayers time and time again. That's why I authored legislation requiring independent audits of government agencies. And that's why I returned tens of thousands in pay and living expenses to taxpayers.
Senator Abel Maldonado, independent leadership for us.
Paid for by Maldonado for Senate, 2008.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
It's the Peter B. Show.
Interrupting all programs.
Radio cuts from pirate satellite. Orbiting your living room, cashing in the Bill of Rights. Human army surplus or refusing all the life. Radio cuts from pirate satellite. Yeah.
We're actually on a legal satellite, distributing the Peter B. Collins Show to our affiliate stations around the West. And if you'd like to help support our program, I'd appreciate it. You can go to my website at peterbcollins.com, click on the link You Can Help. And if you don't got internet access, you can always just write me a letter. Peter B. Collins, Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. That's P.O. Box 100, Mill Valley, and the zip code 94942. Margie's calling from Coos Bay. Hello, Margie. You're on the PBC show.
Hi, actually in Port Orford.
Port Orford. I moved you. Sorry.
That's okay. Well, I have about three things here I wanted to share, but was it on your show that I heard a clip of McCain saying that he's always wanted to be a dictator?
Mm, No, Bush said that. Bush made that comment about how, you know, as long as he's the dictator.
Right. Well, that's separate from this McCain clip that I heard somewhere, and I can't remember whose show it was on.
Yeah, not me, but I'd love to hear it.
and so I thought it would make I called the Obama campaign, but I guess they're not using it, but I thought it was an idea for a TV ad on a split screen. You have GW make his statement about the dictator, and then you have McCain likewise saying that he'd like to be a dictator.
And then you show a picture of Putin.
Oh, right. Who is the dictator? And then I had an idea for a bumper sticker that I guess they're not going to use either, but a little picture of the White House and then saying, McCain does not need another house.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Oh, well, too late.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, have you talked about this on your program, the Constitution Free Zone?
Not per se. We've talked about the threats to the Constitution, and I think I've ranted at great length about the Fourth Amendment and the domestic spying program.
Right. Well, this was discussed on Tom Hartman's show this morning with a man from the ACLU.
Uh-huh.
And when they get involved, you know that it's not just an idea anymore. I'm sure that it must be something that is really being enacted. And it's within 100 miles of all of our borders, and like a border being in also the ocean.
Right. Yeah, I saw an email report to that thought, which is that our Border Patrol agents essentially have free rein now, and all kinds of things are occurring near the border that violate our Constitution, particularly when they happen to American citizens. But they're basically operating with a great deal of impunity.
And within 100 miles from the coast and from all the borders and from the Great Lakes, that's a huge amount of territory for this unlimited search and seizure stuff.
Yeah. Well, and the FBI is imposing unilaterally these new standards effective December 1st.
Oh.
Which basically says that an FBI agent can write his own or her own ticket for an investigation. Who needs a pesky warrant? Who needs to get approval from a judge or a court? If the agent thinks they have cause, they can go forward and interrogate somebody, detain them. It's really ugly. It's a part of the creeping fascism that we've been warning against on this program.
Yeah.
And there's been barely a peep from Democrats about it.
I haven't heard a thing about that.
Yeah,
wow.
It's been published, but not in an alarming way.
Yeah.
People need to know about it. Thanks, Margie.
Okay.
All right, now to Wayne and Ben Lohman listening on the mighty KRXA. Hi, Ben.
Hi. How you doing, Peter?
I called you Ben, like you're Wayne Ben Lomond.
I'm not close enough.
What's on your mind, Ben? I used to live down the road there in Boulder Creek.
Oh, well, yeah, you're just a couple miles away.
Yeah.
Or were.
Yes, I was.
Anyway, I'm calling about an article in Bloomberg.com titled Broken Securities Industry Still Has $20 billion with a B to pay bonuses. And it says Goldman Sachs Group and Morgan Stanley are still both on track and set aside $13 billion for bonuses.
Jeez.
And Goldman Sachs has set aside $6.85 billion, or an average of $210,000 per employee.
Right.
Now, of course, they're not all going to get that. There'll be some fat cats that are pulling millions.
Right.
But the idea that we've bailed them out and they're still planning on giving these guys bonuses is just beyond me.
It's obscene, Wayne. That's what it is. It's obscene.
It is.
And I believe that this year's bonus pool and the 2007 bonus pool should be confiscated by the government and thrown into the bailout fund. These are the jokers who created the problems, and they shouldn't get to keep that money. It's tainted. It's criminal money.
Exactly. And, you know, the excuse that keeps coming up is that they have to pay these bonuses or these people will leave.
Aww.
Well, where are they going to go? Do you think they could go to Europe and get that money? If they were in China, they'd be shot.
Well, this is where, you know, let the free market do its dance. We've interrupted the market, we've intervened, and yet we're propping up these businesses as usual. And there, we talked earlier today that the banks have been given billions and billions of dollars, $25 billion for Bank of America, $25 billion for Wells Fargo, and they're sitting on the money, using it to buy other banks and using it to pay dividends.
And
we were told that our money was going to be used to free up the credit markets to save our capitalist butts. And instead, we're preserving some pretty special posteriors. Let's go to John in Eureka for the final word. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Peter. I just wanted to mention there was a lady that called yesterday about what can we do with Limbaugh.
Uh-huh.
And what I do, I'm up in Eureka, and Tom Seaborn always says KGOE is supported by its advertisers. Call them and let them know you're listening, which I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I also listened to Limbaugh this morning on another channel, and I found who was advertising on his show, and I called his advertisers up and said, hey, this guy, it's hate radio. Why don't you think about advertising on a different type of show?
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned your show.
Why, thank you.
So hopefully some of these hate radio guys will support or stations will advertise on your show and throw a little business your way.
Well, John, thank you for your activism, and thanks for speaking up. And this is how it works. We welcome support from advertisers, even people who've misspent their money with Rush Limbaugh, because we'll bring you in front of a much healthier audience with progressive values, and it's good for business. John, thank you very much. I really appreciate your support and support of many listeners to this program. We will return tomorrow, same time, same place. I'll talk to you then. I'm Peter B. We're talking with Coach Dennis about how to get fit and get rich while helping others do the same.
That's right, Peter. You can earn extra money from your home or office on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Your health, your body, and your net worth come down to one thing, taking action. Control your own destiny. As an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a better life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. Hundreds of other successful online coaches nationwide are getting fit and getting rich and living the dream lifestyle that comes with a thriving internet business. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It couldn't be easier. Get fit and get rich. It's all done part-time, it's all done online, and it's all done when you have the time. Call me now, 702-299-5789. No obligation, that's 702-299-5789. Or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's Fit and Get Rich.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The Dow is back above 9,000 with a gain of 889 points today. That's an 11% increase. With the Fed expected to cut interest rates tomorrow, CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says traders decided it was time to buy.
Inflation appears to be under wraps, and many stocks are trading cheap relative to earnings. So for people with time on their side, this is really a terrific buying opportunity.
Has the market hit bottom?
I don't think anyone wants to be caught calling a bottom in this very volatile stock market, but certainly the fact that we're not going any lower and that we are having days where we are able to rally. The problem, of course, has been sustained. That rally.
Earlier this month, the Dow jumped 936 points, then went down again. Today's rally came in spite of a report that consumer confidence is at its lowest point on record.
Consumers are worried, yes, about housing, yes, about energy, yes, about the financial market, but there are three things that most concern the average American consumer. My job, my job, and my job.
Ken Goldstein of the Conference Board, which has been taking the consumer's pulse for 41 years. 7 days to go, and both presidential candidates concentrated on Pennsylvania today.
Thousands of Pennsylvanians braved nasty weather in Chester to hear Obama's closing argument.
John McCain's ridden shotgun as George Bush has driven our economy towards a cliff, and now he wants to take the wheel and step on the gas.
No more pork. That's right.
Less than 90 miles away in Hershey, McCain joined Sarah Palin in an effort to turn the tide in Pennsylvania.
Senator Obama is running to spread the wealth. I'm running to create wealth.
Polls show McCain well behind Obama in the Keystone State, but Republicans insist it's not a lost cause. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Kwame Kilpatrick, who resigned in disgrace as mayor of Detroit, was sentenced today for obstruction of justice.
You're going to serve 120 days in the Wayne County Jail as part of a probationary term of 5 years.
Judge David Groner told Kilpatrick he exhibited hubris and privilege at the expense of the city. More from WWJ Radio's Beth Fisher.
Kilpatrick also must pay $1 million restitution, give up his law license, and serve 5 years probation. It all stemmed from text messages that showed he lied under oath in a police whistleblower trial, messages that showed he had an affair with his former chief of staff, Christine Beattie, who still faces trial. Beth.